DLGaming.net presents the Digital Logic PC Gaming Podcast with
Ender's Logic.
We call you Muscle Hammer.
Flopsy.
That the system...
Your host, Robert Digital.
Reload. Game changer overused.
And
Smoochie. I'm pretty good at MOBAs.
All right.
Now, turn your game volume down, your earbuds up, and fucking enjoy.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode. It's Bobby, and I'm here with Chi.
Hello.
Emilio.
Hola.
And Chad.
What up, boys and girls?
All right. Back together again, reunited.
Yep.
The four of us. Before we get started here, a few announcements. First of all, if you're listening to this on Tuesday, then today is the day. HOTS 2.0 is coming out. I will be streaming, hanging out all day, giving away a bunch of bundle trash, and opening all my loot chests. I calculated it. I think across three accounts, I've got about 160 chests to
open. Good Lord. What are in these?
Tuesday, Bobby?
Tuesday, yes.
Wait, so you took a day off for this?
Yes, I did.
There's been many other things we've asked you to take a day off
for. Well, here's the thing. I can only take it. Tuesdays off. Like, that's the only day I could ever take off at work. So it just happened to work out.
And so make sure that my birthday is on a Tuesday next time is what you're telling me.
Yeah.
So did you hear 162 loot chests? Yeah. What are in these things, by the way?
Lots of stuff. Goddamn Windows.
Pick a time.
10.
Pick a time, Bobby.
On that. There's going to be all sorts of skins, heroes. Like, it's a whole thing. I'll explain it all on stream. Yeah, that'll be exciting. Tune in. I don't think that starts until 12 Pacific time, though. I'm going to be streaming before then. Maybe we could play some Divinity. So I've got to find something to do before noon.
You guys are back on the Divinity train?
No, I'm just saying we should be playing that one. That'd I don't know if that's that. A great game to stream, but I'd like to eventually finish that game. I've gotten like halfway through it like three times. You know, it'd be nice to have some closure.
One more time for the new folks. Where do they find your stream?
Twitch.tv/Robert_digital.
Yep. So don't go to DLGaming.net
unless you want to have way more fun. I streamed last night and I had a blast.
A couple days this week you streamed.
The yesterday's was a serious one because like I tried all the games that I'm going to be talking about. I did on stream. Now that comes with its own caveats, but we'll talk about that later. I gave away a bunch of that bundle trash, like 15 games. But it's like, it seems like they're growing faster than we can put them away.
That's funny.
The list is ever growing.
You said you put a shout out to a couple people. Thanks to Tagloro and somebody else.
X2LI is a guy on Steam. I don't think he speaks too much English. I'm pretty sure he communicates with me through Google Translate. But he hooks me up with a lot of keys all the time. He gives me keys. I give him keys. But there are a lot of
awesome
people. Him and Tag
really nice
are the biggest contributors to that list. One thing, Amelia, though, make sure you leave the key in the Google spreadsheet. It doesn't really matter. I could go back and look at previous versions, but it's good to have those in there just in case somebody missed it or they need it again.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But you didn't mark it off when somebody
did
take it.
Well, yeah. I did it by...
So you got it half right.
I put who won it and... I disappeared the
deleted the key. Yeah.
So our streams are getting better and cooler. We got two new Patreons, Leap Milf, which is our first after Chi for sure female listener that we know about.
Yeah, one that's actually
that's
talked.
Awesome. Yeah.
She actually
welcome
talks. She participates.
Yeah.
She became a member within the first week of listening to us again.
Yeah, try to keep the creepiness to a minimum if you can. Tell us.
She's the creepy one a lot of the times. She was talking about how hard her nipples were, but that doesn't mean that you could talk about her nipples. I asked her, hey, are you offended by the names of the Discord channel? She said, my name's Leap Milf. I think I'm good. And then I said, well, how'd you get that name? She said, my ex-husband gave it to me. I got rid of him, but I kept the name.
Yeah.
So that was cool. And then thanks to Cody. I don't know your stage name, as it were, but thanks for the Patreon.
Yeah. I let me just shout out real quick. If you are a Patreon member, make sure to let us know how to connect the two, because you can get your green Discord chat name, and then we'll also send you a shirt. Speaking of shirts, they are in the works, and we're deciding on, and we're hoping to get them out this week.
Oh, that's right? Amazing. Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't want to say anything, Nighthawk, but yeah, Emilio, that's the second time you told that story.
Yeah.
That's really? Okay. I thought I did it, like, not on here.
Nope.
So I introduced her last week.
Yep.
She's a Patreon this week.
Yep.
Yep.
Can we start over?
Nope.
Okay.
Start all over.
Yeah. While we're doing shout-outs, I want to give a shout-out to, I believe it was Pharaoh Steve that told me about Unkbot, which is kind of like Nightbot. You know, it just helps you out with a lot of Twitch stuff, so I've been digging into that, and I'm kind of understanding the whole giveaway raffle thing that that has. It also has a song request thing on it, which is kind of nice. So
that's cool.
I'm going to test that all out on Tuesday.
Like,
yeah, but I could have swore like Nightbot didn't work anymore, or like they had to come out with a new version of it so it would work, or you had to pay for it or something like that. I don't know. When I tried to stream years ago, then I tried Nightbot and had trouble, but I've been having a lot of success with
Unkbot. Specifically for giveaways, I feel like Nightbot doesn't do it effectively or doesn't do it at all. Mm. If I ever do giveaways, I use Moobot, so it's weird having to use multiple different bots. If Unkbot has it all in one package, then
do you have to pay for Unkbot?
No, it's free. I feel like this stuff should be incorporated in Twitch at this point.
Yeah,
it's like, weird.
What the hell?
There might be some legality with giveaways, and you know, have to have the streamers themselves do it. I don't know.
I can kind of imagine what it was for Bobby's like coworkers. They're like, Bobby asked for a day off. Oh my God, did his mother die? No, didn't you hear it's the Heroes of the Storm 2.0?
Hey, I don't knock Bobby, because every expansion of WoW that came out, I always took a day off.
I did the same thing.
Actually, I usually took the week off. I took the week off.
He never takes days off.
That's
never.
True. That's true.
Yeah. This is the first I ever known.
It's a rarity, but it happened to line up. I mean, it was on a Tuesday, Heroes 2.0. It's like, why the hell not?
Where are you going to get all your food delivered? How are you going to eat, Bobby? How are you going to eat?
Just
with his mouth hole
in my mouth like I usually
no,
do.
It's like you have no food in the fridge and you're gonna be at home playing
I'll
hot sauce all day.
You know, sometimes I call the taco
get
shop
some
and I
pizzas
like I'm ordering for two people, but really I'm ordering like breakfast and lunch. Yeah,
my subconscious does that all the time. Like I'll order two, saying that I'm gonna eat one now and one later. Always eat them both. And that's why I'm fat.
Yeah. All right, last week's errors and shit. We had a little problem with the pronunciation of a word. Foliage.
I
blame this on
The Simpsons. There's a Simpsons episode where Mark mispronounces foliage, and I've always had some confusion surrounding that, but thank you, Zap, for pointing that out. It's pronounced foliage.
I've always called it. I think so, yeah.
Yeah, it's foliage.
Yeah.
Was it you that said they, like, one day you told me, you're like, I've been pronouncing shrapnel wrong my whole life?
It wasn't shrapnel, but every once in a while I'll hear a word and I'll be like, what the fuck? There's a whole week I couldn't say extension cord for some reason.
A lot of times I know who reads versus who doesn't read about their mispronunciations, because sometimes a word you think is.
Like lieutenant?
Yeah.
Colonel?
If you like only read the word, it looks like colonel or whatever, but then you know it's not actually pronounced that way. Anyways, Pharaoh Steve also had another podcast correction from last week, that apparently Carrie Fisher did all her scenes for episode 8, so she will be in episode 8, but then they've also decided that she will not be in any further ones, and there won't be CGI or anything.
What'd she die of again? I don't remember.
She had a heart attack.
Yeah, she had a heart attack, yeah.
And she was like, what? Anybody know? 60? I gotta start thinking about this. Like, that's not far from it.
She was like in her 20s in 79. So when she was in 80, she was in her 20s. So that puts her 50s to 60s.
Yeah, and her mother was still alive until
early.
A couple days after.
Ooh, oh, she died after?
Almost immediately after.
Yeah, because she was an actress too, right?
Wow. Yeah, probably from heartbreak and grief. That's very sad.
The fish were happy that two less fishers were around.
Boo.
Rough.
Boo.
That was a bad joke, man. Too soon.
I'm not drunk enough for those stupid ones.
Oh, my goodness. All right. Nothing on the radar this week. There's nothing coming out that we're really excited about.
I saw a new trailer for Outlast 2. Holy
shit. Wait. Does Outlast 2 also comes out on Tuesday also, right? Also?
I believe it does, yeah. Yeah.
Holy shit.
Holy crap.
Scary.
That's a game I have to beat.
Maybe I'll grab that and play that before.
Play
noon.
That in the morning. Yeah. There you go.
But it's a scary game. You don't play that at like 9 o'clock in the morning. I mean,
no,
dude, you
yeah,
got black. Don't you have black curtains?
No.
What?
No, that's
curtains?
Why I can't sleep in.
Oh,
that's why I look like this.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Yeah, not
but
tan
ask him
at all.
Why he doesn't have black curtains?
Why don't you? I don't, oh, I don't that's know. True. Still too early.
It would, I like the openness of this room.
All right, so just Outlast 2 is the only thing coming up that people are really...
Yeah, April 25th.
I mean, Dawn of War 3 is going to be out by the time... Yeah, I think it's 27th, so that'll be out too.
Are you getting that one?
Well, hopefully we're getting it somehow.
Okay.
Or another.
Cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
All righty.
Should we just go into the big story?
How big is this story?
Well, we played it until 3 in the morning several times.
And it has a mobile component, and it's got a Steam component, and it's got multiple other things related to it. So
it's kind of a whole thing. And what we played, Bobby, is a version of this. So what we played earlier was Hero Realms.
Tell our listeners what you're actually talking about.
All right. So Star Realms is a tradable card game.
It's not a tradable. It's a card. It's a deck building game.
It's a deck building game, which doesn't sound like when you hear deck building game, you hear Magic or something else. But that's
Yu-Gi-Oh
or something like that.
Did you ever own Yu-Gi-Oh cards?
No.
I've never heard anything like this before. So you start off with really only 10 cards in your deck, and as the game progresses, you're making your deck bigger and stronger, hopefully, and not putting too much junk in there. And that's all done through commerce. And that's basically what you're doing. It's almost like there's an open market, and you're buying the best cards you can with what you can afford while doing damage to your opponent, investing into later. Because every time your deck runs out, your discard pile becomes your deck. So it's, at first, I was like, oh, how's this going to work? But the reason that we've been stuck to it and why we're finding it to be amazing is the games are so close. And we don't know if that's because of our skill levels are at the same time. Well, the first night you wiped the floor with me.
Yes, I did.
Several of those games, maybe three of those games, I was one move from killing you.
Yeah.
And that's a sign of a really good game. Like
we were at each other's throats,
for lack of a better word. And then the next night, I think I won. And then the third night, you won. Or more games, basically.
Yeah.
And
how long do these games last?
20, 30 minutes. It's like a game of Magic or a game of Hearthstone.
Yeah.
Something like that.
So then we were playing Star Realms, and we liked it so much. Chad, the next day, went out and bought Hero Realms, which is the fantasy version of it.
Same game in the fantasy world. Mm-hmm. The cards are different, obviously.
So Star Realms has like a sci-fi.
Star Realms, it deals with ships and outposts and satellites and stuff like that.
I say I like it better.
Star Realms?
Yeah.
I think I like the space theme better. I could just see it, visualize it better.
Yeah, exactly. It makes more sense.
Yeah.
Bases versus champions, stuff like that. So,
but what's the? Did you guys pay attention to the lore at all?
So there is a world that they exist in. There's four in Star Realms. There's four different factions, and each faction's a little bit different. Like the blue one is kind of pretty. It's called the Trade Federation, but it's pretty much Star Trek. Versus the green. What's the green one? The Blob. The Blob are kind of like the space alien looking ones.
Maybe.
Yeah, the Zerg ones. The red, which is the Machinist Guild. Is kind of like Borg, maybe a little bit.
Sure, yeah, and they recycle stuff.
And then the yellow, which is the Imperial Federation.
Yeah,
and it's kind of
commerce.
It's like starfighters and stuff.
Sure.
It's not about it.
The biggest problem, and this is a good thing. The biggest problem with this game is the lack of character. It doesn't have any moxie. You're really just looking at numbers the whole time, and you're not really invested in your deck because that deck's going to be gone next game. It's a transient deck that you're not going to use again.
Yeah.
Magic the Gathering, I put my heart and soul into this deck. I put my last $12 to get that rare, to make this deck work, and if it works, it works, and if it doesn't, fucking back to the drawing board, and I you're almost putting your ego on the line when you make a deck in Magic. I like your own deck, and it's not a net deck. There's none of that here. This is more like a board game.
Yeah,
you're playing a board game.
It's a board game played with cards.
But it's not bad. Like, everything's great about this.
So your deck is a faction-specific deck?
No. So you start with 10 generic cards, which aren't faction related, and then you're picking cards from the trade row, and those are faction specific. And you can get bonuses if you play in multiple cards of the same faction together, but you can have all four colors in your deck and still succeed.
So it's free for all factions.
Yes, okay. Exactly. And we could both be playing blue. So Hero Realms is the fantasy version of it. But then if you go on Steam, Steam has Star Realms for free that you can play. And then I think it's $5 to be able to get the full unlock, but you can do the single player all for free. The campaign mode you can do for free right now. So if you go to Star Realms, if you go to Steam and you can download Star Realms and play it out and give it a go and try it out. And I highly recommend
it. Let's see. The
overall reviews are very positive, but only 257 reviews, not a whole lot.
Yeah, and I think you can't review this right until you bought the full game. So there's probably a lot more people playing the free version.
Probably.
So
anyway,
there was also the Cthulhu Realms on Steam, which I didn't see an actual card version of, but there is a Cthulhu Realms. So if you're more into the Lovecraftian style, I was playing that and I was having a lot of fun. It was kind of more tongue in cheek, and all. It was actually pretty well made, and that one's free also to try out, and then you can purchase it.
I don't know how long this card game has been out, but it feels like it's been around for a long time. You can see the years of experience. Every card, like, it's all worked out.
The
balancing is perfect, in other words.
Yeah. And if you go into the Steam version of this and you play against each other, there's actually two versions to play against each other. There's a 3-minute timer for your window to play your turn, or a 48-hour window. Mm. So you can play against each other asynchronously.
Yeah, like smart people play chess over the phone and shit.
Exactly. Yeah. So I thought that was a cool idea for a game like this, because it is like Hearthstone, where it's when it's not your turn, you don't have anything to do. You're just waiting. Mm-hmm. It's not like Magic where you can play interrupts and stuff like that. So I thought that was really cool. I also downloaded the Steam version. Here's a little sneak peek into the Chad's Mobile Corner. I played the mobile version of this. It works clean, just as the same as the Steam version.
You said the Steam is just like playing the real card game, right?
Yeah. Because it's not a complicated game. You don't have like this hierarchy of first in, you know, last in, first out, and all this stuff. So I'm liking the Steam, the mobile game as well, version of this. And the campaign is actually challenging to get the 3 stars, because each like mission you go in has 3 stars. So the first one, it's like win in 12 moves. And then 2 stars is win in 10 moves. And then the 3 stars is win in 8 moves.
Yeah.
So you have to, like, if you're winning in 8 moves, you got to be playing Blob to try to fucking do as much damage as you can right away. So it is actually challenging. I haven't actually beat the first boss in the campaign mode. So I highly recommend you guys give Star Realms a try, or Cthulhu Realms. And there wasn't Hero Realms for Steam yet. So, but either one of those I highly recommend. But I don't recommend getting anything other than the full version and maybe like the bases.
Does the full version include all those other DLC packs?
No. The full version, I believe, just unlocks the full version of it. And then these additional downloadable content are like 10 or 12 cards that just add little bonuses to like the bases or events or heroes. They don't add like a lot of things to them.
Is it pay to win?
No, because they go to the trade deck. So whoever...
Oh.
So then it's just drawn into the trade deck.
Okay, which means it's communal.
Yeah, it's communal. So...
But anyway... We love it.
Yeah, it was awesome.
There's no other way to say it.
We were up till 3 a.m.
Were you guys playing this local co-op or online?
We're playing on our kitchen table.
Yeah, we were playing the cards.
Playing the actual card game?
Yeah.
Okay.
But then he went on to play the Steam version.
So the cool thing about Hero Realms, by the way, and I'm not sure, I might have explained this to you, but not you, Bobby. So they've got additional card packs for different hero classes, so like the cleric or the ranger or the warrior or the thief or the wizard. And what they do, it's just 10 cards and it replaces your starting deck. So instead of having those generic gold coins or whatever, they have different ones related to your class. So maybe there's actions in there. I don't know. I haven't bought any of them yet, so I don't know.
Bobby, you just played your first game.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty easy to pick up, right?
Yeah. I don't know if it was as easy as what, Battle Monster?
Boss Monsters.
Boss Monster. Yeah, I don't know if it was that simple. And the game time was probably about the same. Each game would probably go about a half an hour, I'd say.
Yeah.
Does that sound right? And how many players can you play up to with your Star
Four
Realms?
Four with what we have.
So the deal with Star Realms is you get a box and it's like $15 or something. If you're doing it, if you're getting physical cards, it's a box, and it's got for two decks in Star Realms. So if you want to play four people, you buy two of those boxes, and now you have enough for four people. But for Hero Realms, it actually comes in a box with four people, so you can play up to four people with Hero Realms.
Okay, so all that really matters is the quantity of cards per individual?
Yeah, and honestly, it only... The only deciding factor, because you'll never go through your communal cards, the only thing that's important is how many cards you have that you can start your opening hand with, the 10 generic cards. And Star Realms only has enough for two starting hands, and Hero Realms gives you four.
What's good about this, too, and it's a thing. It's definitely a thing. Like, luck is definitely a thing in this game, but it's not the deciding factor. But Bobby could have won that game.
He could have.
Yeah.
Well, all three of us could have.
Exactly. Like, I was going to kill you probably next turn.
Yeah.
Again.
So, anyways, awesome game.
Yeah, this whole Realms thing is...
And I think that's all... Well, you're going to talk a little D&D, but now I think we're going to go back to video games.
Yeah, well...
We had a little non-video game.
What do you guys think about us playing these physical games? I know a lot of people don't have friends, so...
provide feedback. If you guys don't like something, or...
We're playing physical games, so... And I don't know, it's just kind of a thing right now. I don't know if we're going to stay on it, but...
Yeah, just let us know.
I played my first D&D game. I guess I'll get right into it. Thanks for Zap. I talked about...
Well, this is important because you guys are playing with podcast listeners.
Yeah, it's all podcast listeners, and this is completely organic. Zap put it together. I'm playing with Tagloro and Big Mr. Large Huge, I think is his name. And I said, dude, how big are you? He's like 315 pounds or something, like 6'6".
That's not 6'6".
Yeah, he's like a big dude. And we played and it was awesome. What's funny though?
Do you think he needs to have like a bigger mouse than us?
I asked him, what kind of chair do you get? He gets just something that's rated for 350.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, okay.
Do they have what kind of DX racer? Do they do DX racers up into the 350?
Yeah, Maxonomics makes a lot of good chairs for, and they have weight classes too. So it'll tell you how much they support. But yeah, all those chairs do.
Cool.
To not make fat guys feel bad, I call the biggest class like the heavyweight champ.
Yes. Nice.
Or something like that.
Yeah, for sure.
Marketing, bitches.
Yeah.
You can't, and to not make them feel bad or anything, I'm not sure, but he's actually smaller than the biggest guy I've ever been with.
Ooh.
Yeah. Really? So you can honestly, no matter what size you are, you can probably get, depending on who you are, I think opportunities really exist for anybody out there.
Sure.
I don't discriminate though. I'm all about personality.
Well, Big's not fat. He's just a big guy.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, if you were 6'6", Emil, you'd be probably pretty close to 300.
Yeah, for sure.
If you were the same size you were.
For sure. So what was I talking about? Oh, what is fun now that I'm thinking about it for the first time. Tag, and this is what D&D is all about. Tag was the biggest guy in D&D.
Oh, yeah.
He's the smallest guy in real life.
Yeah.
I was the smallest guy. Just to say what a shit show this was, it's really quick. Like, we got to the end. We just met each other. Hey, guys, you got the same letter we did? Oh, yeah, we did too. Oh, cool. Let's get in here. Okay. So Tag's playing this dragon that's super strong, but, not smart. So he pushes on the door instead of pulls it, but it's a pull door. And
that's hilarious.
And so he then goes...
He gives up, right?
No. He goes... Oh, no, yeah. And he goes, okay, dude, Milo, you do it. And I'm a half-elf, so I go, I'm too short. I can't open the door. And so he starts charging the door to break it down. This is the first 2 minutes. And then
Zap has got to be going like, what the fuck?
Yeah. And then Zap is the bartender owner. Opened the door before that could happen. He's like, hey, I heard you guys a ruckus. Let me show you how to walk into the door. having so much fun. It's really, really cool. It's a shit show, but we're making it work.
So all you guys are new or...
Tag has played a lot and it shows. He's very brash and but he's also, he's role playing. So he's doing things that I'm like, oh my God, this guy. you know, yeah. But it's working out, yeah. You know, so it's really cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And then like,
so how's
the DM was,
how is Zap as the DM?
He's doing really good. Yeah. So he, what's interesting is he's done it twice, and the other team, he's doing it at the same time on the same campaign,
gotcha.
The same amount of people. And they're doing it way better than we are. They're like, so we had this thing where we got attacked and just by luck we made it through. And then this other thing, and then we fell into a big trap. I have no idea how, that was the cliffhanger. There's like, you're about to die. And then we'll wrap up next week. Right. I was like, hey Zap, how'd the other team do it? They're like, well, they snuck past everybody and silently killed everybody. And so triggered no traps. And I'm like, okay, we fucking suck. Like we're so bad.
But that's part of the role of the DM is to adjust things to play yeah. for, you know, so.
And he's doing it so well.
Yeah.
And sometimes I'm like, is he making this up on, or was he ready for me to say that I, you know what I mean? It's
yeah.
awesome.
Yeah, exactly.
I guess the best thing about D&D is you can do whatever you want. If you can bring it up, it can be.
Yeah,
it would at least be addressed.
Yeah, you can say like, hey, I want to do this, and the DM's like, all right, yeah. roll for your dexterity or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Uh-huh. Oh, because like the very first thing we did was I was picking up on a chick, and she was like liking me because I rolled really high in charisma. I went to go buy her.
Oh, only you would be the first thing you yeah. try to hit on a chick.
Well, I was.
What kind of chick? Was she like an elf chick? What
she
kind
was
of?
A wench, just a... A bar wench.
Yeah, okay.
But a human.
I worked for it. I was playing the flute on top of the table, tapping my foot. I was getting everybody going. I had a hat in front of me, you know, at the tavern, trying to make money. I didn't have any money, so so we were trying to put on a performance. Girl liked my show. I went to go buy her some drinks. Tag moves in. He's as a dragon trying to get up on my girl.
A gold shiny dragon, right?
Yeah, gold shiny dragon. She don't want nothing to do with his scaly ass. But he rolled like a 20 on charisma. Fuck, we photo... fuck
he
tag.
Stole your girl. So,
yeah. I said, can I roll for counter cock block? And he said no.
So the moral of the story is you can't get chicks even in,
yeah, not even in D&D.
Fucking D&D. Yeah. Okay, cool.
Imagine that.
Imagine that, he said.
Dragons break bro code every single time. Don't trust them.
All right, Bobby. How about you? What have you been up to?
Let's see. Thank you to The Mayo, who bought me a copy of Pit People, early birthday present.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Ooh, when's your birthday officially?
Tuesday.
Tuesday.
Yeah, Tuesday.
Ironically.
Yeah. Really?
It's, yeah.
2.0 yeah. is his official birthday?
It's like
birthday?
They knew. It's like they knew.
Wow. And,
by the way, The Mayo hit me up. He's like, hey, would Bobby like Pit People for his birthday? And I was like, Bobby's birthday's coming up?
Yeah. I said the same thing. He's like, he talked to me afterwards. Yeah. He's like, I bought it for him. And I was like, wait, when's his birthday? And he's like, he mentioned it on the podcast yeah. the same day.
He said the same thing.
Nah, I don't make a big deal about my birthday. Even my family like forgets about it. Like, not like, oh my God, like,
it's I'm
my
the birthday. Same way.
But I don't remind anybody about it. I try to just let it slide right by.
Does your girl be like, oh, what do you want to do for your birthday? And you're like, oh, my birthday's coming up?
Huh. Yeah, usually. I mean, we just go out to dinner and I keep it simple.
But. It's always, the girlfriend is always like really into your birthday and then you don't give a shit.
Yeah.
We covered this a long time ago, but once you hit 25, a birthday really is just 1 year closer to death is the way I look at it.
My birthdays never matter. I'm on the 3rd of July. So the next day, everybody's out of town or planning some big shit for the next day. And I just get drunk.
Or from a positive perspective, you get fireworks for every birthday.
Yeah, that's my...
No. Okay. Yeah.
So I've been playing Pit People, and I'm only about 3 hours into this game, so this is going to be like first impressions. But
an Emilio review, we like to call it.
Yeah. I didn't realize this game was in early access, first of all. It doesn't feel like it. Like, it feels like a complete game, but it is technically in early access, and it's a behemoth game. You know, Castle Crashers, Battle Block Theater, so it's got that same artwork style. It's got the same narrator, Will, what's his name? Can't remember his name.
Arnett?
Not Arnett. I can't remember his name.
Smith?
Look him up on YouTube. He is hilarious. He voices Hattie. He voices all of them.
Gotcha.
Same type of humor. And I knew it was a tactical, like, grid-based game. It was hex-based. But I didn't realize that it was so much more of an adventure RPG game. Like, it's actually... There's a lot of content here. I mean, I'm 3 hours into this game, and I've... it says I've unlocked like maybe 7% of the content or something like that. There's a main quest line, I believe, and then there's all these little side quests and this huge area that you can explore. You can pick whatever fights you want. You can do quests. You can explore. Like, there's a multitude of things that you can do. And the combat is, I remember them saying this when the game was first announced, that they're taking more of a casual approach to tactical turn-based. And when you think about those types of games, you think XCOM, what are some other ones that are out there? The Banner Saga, even. But these
Final
games
Fantasy
are usually,
Tactics.
But when you say casual, all I think of is that they made it simpler and easier. Is that what you mean by this casual approach? Because tactics, usually, when I pursue playing tactics games, I anticipate a challenge. So
well,
this
I just
is
kind
a
of
more
assume
easy
a tactics
going?
Game is automatically complex because there's a lot that can go on. It's like very, a very advanced form of chess. But this game, I mean, it is casual in the sense that this is the only thing that is quote-unquote casual about it that I could say, is that when you move your character next to another character to attack them or in attack range, it does not target that character. It targets like whatever characters are in range. So let's say I move a character and three people are in his range. I don't get to choose which one he attacks. He'll just attack whichever one's there.
Randomly.
Yeah, randomly. Okay. It just picks a random one. Now, the characters that you can choose, it's kind of cool. It's got a little Pokemon thing going on. So as you travel around this world, you can get a cage. And then after you kill all the guys except one, you can walk up to that one guy, throw a net on him, and you capture him. You take him back to base. You can now recruit that guy.
Human trafficking.
Yeah, pretty much.
But they're not humans, right?
Some of them are. Some of them are mushrooms that fart. Some of them are cupcakes.
Like they
do. Cupcakes are great because the cupcakes, they throw their frosting out of themselves onto your other guys and heal them, but hurt themselves. And then when they get low enough, they heal themselves back up. So they're kind of
like they redo their frosting?
Reserves. Yeah. Huh. They're like these health reserves. So, and it's cool the way that they incorporate that with all the visuals and everything. I mean, it's behemoth. They always knock it out of the park.
Yeah, they make a good game for sure.
And there's a lot of intricacies within like elements and stuff like electricity and
Yeah, there's fire damage, water damage. There's like all those different things you can freeze. And I still feel like, even though I'm 3 hours, maybe even more into this game, I feel like I'm barely into it. I've completed like the first main quest, and then I've kind of been meandering around doing some side quests and trying to collect as many of these guys as I can. And you can equip your guys with different sorts of shields, swords, long-range weapons. Like there's a bunch of stuff, a bunch
of
different
stuff.
How big
of a crew do you have that you're running around?
Up to five people. You can have
team. What's the generic storyline on this one, or is there one?
It's so hard to follow on these behemoth games.
Yeah,
so there's this giant bear that keeps picking up your home base and flicking it to different parts of the map. And you're like this just casual farmer, Horatio, who's, I don't know, he's... The first quest was like you're trying to get revenge on this guy who wrecked this castle and... There was like a lady you ran into and they killed her father. And I thought that was going to be like the whole quest line. But then the first quest, you just go over there and you kill the dude. And like, okay, that's over with. But it seems like the big giant bear that flicks around.
Now that you
around
possess
space.
His bloodthirst, what else can you do?
Yeah. I don't know. It's all over the place story-wise. And
Bobby,
it's just very weird.
What was that one game? I think it was recommended to us by like either, I forget who, FigSec maybe. And it reminds me exactly of this. And you had your troops, and the first quest was to go and seek revenge for the town. And when you got into combats, it would go into kind of a tactic style game. And you could
Battle Brothers?
Was that what it was? Something like that?
I'll bring that up, but...
Because it sounds very similar to what you're talking about, and I'm wondering... Because you played
Brothers
that...
Battle Brothers was not like... It didn't have any sort of comedy in it at all. It was very strange.
No, but I mean, it was a turn-based tacticals where you had kind of a map before you go into the turn-base, and you had this group of people that you could... improve through recruitment.
That's really good reviews on this. Mm-hmm. 9 out of 10.
I mean, to a certain extent, aren't all these games kind of like that, though? Like, the reason I like Pit People so much is because it's like, I mean, it's like every other tactical RPG adventure game out there,
yeah,
but it's behemoth style. You know, it's got that, it's got comedy in it, it's got brilliant artwork, it's just, it's really fun in that regard, but...
Okay.
This was on my wish list, so I can't wait to play it off of your account, Bobby.
Yeah, I recommend it. It's got some battles, too, like the big boss fight battles that take a long time. I think that's why I'm 3 hours into it, and I've only, like, progressed so little, because when I went and fought that guy who killed that princess's dad, like that battle took like 20, 25 minutes.
Yeah.
It was a long, drawn-out thing. Maybe I just wasn't too good at the game. But you're repositioning your guys, and you're trying to defend against them. It's also got a PvP element, which I haven't tried yet. But you go into town, and you can queue up as co-op or versus against other people, and you can test out your characters against. And there's, like, awards you can unlock there. So,
Are there equipment also?
Yeah.
Equipping swords and stuff?
Different swords, shields, bows, arrows, throwing axes, all sorts of things. Like, I don't know. They say it's casual, but I really think it's the art style that people kind of assume that because there's a lot to it.
Cool. Let's move on.
I also played a tactics game, so I guess we can segue that straight into Smite Tactics. So I signed up for the beta for this and was this weekend was given a key. I actually got two keys, so I gave one to Emilio because he was definitely interested in checking it out. So I played through a little bit of it. It's still really early on this. There's a lot of temp, placeholder, and all this other garbage on this stuff.
That early?
Yeah, it's pretty early. So basically, this game is... It's how do I describe this? It kind of reminded me of Hearthstone a little bit. You kind of have a deck of cards, but... Or what was that other game? Duelist and what was the
Shardbound.
Shardbound. But the thing with this game is you have two like little jewels that are each have 10 hit points on the two ends.
Uh-huh.
And so the goal is to kill those two jewels.
Okay.
And if you kill, you can't go kind of like avoiding people. You kind of have to set up a line of defense. Mm. So it kind of makes it made me kind of feel like Hearthstone because like a two cost creature was probably a 2-3. It had the same kind of cost to attack defense ratio as Hearthstone did.
Okay.
And so basically it's a tactics game in the Smite universe. The gods are there, they've got other minions and stuff. You can play spells. It seems like it's pretty good for a tactics game, but the twist again is you've got these cards. And so you can only recruit people or play people based on what cards you have
and
available.
Spells, I imagine.
There's spells. It reminded me a lot of Hearthstone when it came to the spells and the effects. There's a 3-cost one that says draw 2 cards.
Yeah.
You know, like, so in that respect.
It looks like they took the economy right from Hearthstone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. So you've got one god that you're playing with. So, for example, I was playing a Ra deck. So Ra was your god. So when you were summoning guys, it would have to be summoned around Ra. Mm-hmm. But I summoned, for example, Sobek, which is another god.
Yeah.
I actually had 2 Sobeks up on the board at one time. I don't know if you're supposed to, but you could. And so you're about killing their guys with keeping your guys alive and then eventually whittling them down so you can kill the two things. But, yeah, it's still early. I'm going to play it some more. I did play some PvP against people, and I don't think people are understanding the game because I was just destroying them.
Yeah.
And everybody's playing just, like, the default decks, so I know, like, it's not, like, a deck thing. So, but, yeah, I'll play it some more. Like I said, I'm in the closed beta right now, and Emilio is, so I'm hoping Emilio tries this week.
It's like Hearthstone and reminiscent of the types of cards you're dealing. But as for how the game is played, it says tactics. So yep. I'm assuming
so it's a board
positioning.
Can you bring it up
involved?
It's a board maybe 10 by 6 or so.
Okay.
And your guy's there and he's got a move speed. He's got an attack range. And, you know, you can attack and defend or return attacks. So if a melee guy swings into you, you'll hit back on him.
Okay.
So, and then, like, ranged guys, if ranged attack melee, they don't swing back. So ranged is really good on this game.
And is there anything with the environment that...
Yes. There's, like, rocks and stuff. But there's no steps. I didn't see
any elevation.
What was the game that you were talking about last? Shardbound.
Shardbound.
Yeah, there's no elevation or anything like that Shardbound has.
Okay.
But, yeah, we'll see how it progresses.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to check it out. I already installed it. I just had a crazy night last night, so I didn't get around to it. Last night, I mentioned earlier, I was streaming. I tried a few new games. I want to also thank the Mayo for a couple of games. He sent me, and this is no joke, the Mayo sent me My Name is Mayo.
And so, oh, that's great.
He said he had
that's
to buy
wonderful.
It because of the name. So It got something called, like, I think it was like Very Positive or something like that. It's the worst goddamn game I've ever played in my whole life.
Really?
There's a jar of mayo and you tap on it. And as you're tapping, you're unlocking achievements. And those achievements also unlock like different thing, like different like clothes that you could put on the mayo jar. And so you can put mayo jar and then you just keep clicking.
So it's a clicker game.
It's a clicker game, but even worse than one, because there's just like nothing's going on. You're just tapping on this fucking jar of mayo. It's so bad.
I don't understand.
It could be like a Tamagotchi game. You know how you always had to carry around. Oh, you guys are boys. Never mind.
No, I had a Tamagotchi. I was dating an Asian girl though, so maybe that's why.
So the purpose of that was that you got to enhance your little Tamagotchi the more you traveled it around. And I would cheat by just instead of clicking it to my waist, I would just shake it back and forth. And it's almost like tapping the mayo jar, you get unlocks.
Pretty much.
Like, was it really just putting clothes on the mayo jar? Or?
Well, they said that there were stories within, like if you put the bikini on and you keep tapping, like bikini things will happen. But
describe bikini things.
Well, hopefully they're good things for sure.
I don't understand the clicking concept.
No, dude, I've played three of these things.
I've been like fooled. Like
I won't even play Heroes of the Storm because there's too much clicking. So, let alone something where it's only clicking.
Yeah,
isn't Binding of Isaac? Isaac, a lot of Isaac. I'm sorry.
Like a sack of eyes.
The Binding of Isaac.
Binding of Isaac. Isn't that a lot of clicking?
Aren't all games clicking when we get down?
I don't even use the mouse.
Okay. If the game, if APMs is part of the deterministics on the game, that's a lot of fucking clicking, right?
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah.
I've gotten fooled
a couple times on a clicker games because you'll see mobile games and it'll have like a 4.7 rating. I'll be like, oh, this game might be good.
People like
this. And then I go into it. It's a fucking clicking game. I'm like, how the fuck do you get a 4.7? I'm literally just clicking on things. Like,
I just formed a theory. I think it's millennials and instant gratification.
No.
Because you're just getting gratified over and over.
Okay, there are good clicking games. I mean, when it comes to PC gaming, some of the very original games are all point and click games.
Well, no, but that's not a clicker. Like a clicker game, it doesn't matter where you're. Yeah,
gee, you put your mouse and you just click.
Like
you're
not.
That's it.
You're not trying to do it in time, rhythm. There's no game other than how fast you can do it.
You're not even aiming.
Yeah, you don't aim.
Well, there's some that you have.
Well, about 2 years ago, Steam had that mini game during their holiday sale during December.
Oh, that's right. That was a clicker.
They had a clicker game for that. Yeah.
You can play it off my account, and then you tell
just
me
to
what
get
you
Clicker Heroes. Or I think that's the most popular one that people play on Steam. Click Heroes or Clicker Heroes.
But that was last week, and
the Mayo says he's sending her a copy.
All right, I'll tell you what bikini things happen.
Save the 99 cents. Don't give them money.
But that was last week. I just forgot to mention it. This week, he sent me Flint Hook. Because he thought I would like it.
What are you doing in return for him sending these games?
He's getting dick pics on the
your butthole.
Yeah. Something to think about when taking dick pics. You always want something for reference. I like to use something that looks like something like a Coronita bottle is not the size of a regular Corona bottle. You know, what I'm talking about. So it gives that
bite-sized Snickers bar.
I brought this up to I think Chad, and he's like, so like a mini Statue of Liberty. I was like, no, dude. It has to be at least believable.
I thought it was.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Anyway, so that he's getting a bunch of like dick pics. So anyway, cool. Flint Hook.
Congratulations, Mayo.
Flint Hook is a roguelike. We bring these up all the time. This is one with one of the persistent bonuses that you can have. It has some character to it. The main character looks awesome.
Sorry.
I think they did a really good job on him. The music was probably the best thing about this game.
Okay, it's cool looking.
Yeah, yeah. The music and...
Is it pirate related?
Yeah, it's a pirate theme, but space pirate. Space pirate theme. And everything has to do with your grappling hook. Like, it's a grappling hook game. So you're jumping, you're grappling. but you also have bullet time that you can activate at any time.
Okay.
And it lasts for like 1 second, and but then it charges again in like 2 seconds. So you can use it several times throughout. And it when you pull off something amazing in bullet time, you're like, because you have time to actually think when you slow things down and you actually pull it off, the gratification from pulling something off is awesome. Now, this game is super fucking hard. It's really, really hard. There's not a lot of games that are kind of like this. I wasn't dying in combat. It wasn't the bad guys that were killing me. It was the just traps just everywhere.
Oh.
Yeah, there's just like spikes. I was hitting them because the movement in this game is so interesting. You're just kind of like Spider-Mining around. But not
that's
really.
Spider-Manning for the non-Mexicans here.
Oh.
Yeah. But I had a good time. It's very difficult. And I was unlocking things. Now, I was playing this on stream while I was drunk, and this is going to go into my other things. So I might have missed a lot of stuff. I didn't know how to unlock a certain thing, but that all could have been because I wasn't reading. I was just clicking as fast as possible. But I did have a good – I can recommend this game. Just
how much
ready.
Is this, Bobby?
$14.99 regularly on sale for $13.49 right now.
So be ready. Be ready for an ass kicking. If you if you don't want your ass kicked, don't play.
So how does the rogue like occur in this game?
It's random dungeons. You start scratch from every time. Although the dungeon that you're going into can change. So you have an option of three dungeons that you can go into. So one might have something that you're looking for. Like
oh, you know what's in there? A little bit?
I don't know. You know how big it is.
Okay.
And how dangerous it is. So you can have like a three skull or one skull.
Oh, okay. So first off, you start with the one skull and work your way up.
But sometimes, like my last game, it was three skulls. I'm level two. I'm like, I'm just going to die. But it doesn't matter because you always get experience and you always take the experience home. So
similar to Lost Castle.
Yeah, you're always progressing.
So but what are you leveling up? Your stats or are you getting...
Different things.
Okay.
Just like how your grappling hook works, slowing time slowed down, experience gain. Like
okay.
You know, stats.
That's cool. That's cool.
Perks. Yeah.
Does it have loot pinata in there as well?
Kind of. There are chests. You're picking them up. They could have food, gold in there.
But nothing to change your shot, your hook, like stuff like that.
I've seen. Oh, you can crit more. You can crit things. What's interesting, though, is the money that you spend in the shops in the dungeons is the same money you unlock perks with. So
you could either save it
in your current run.
Okay, that makes sense.
And then you hurt your overall progression.
Gotcha.
That's the way I understood it, but I'm not 100% sure.
That makes sense. And again, what's this game called?
That's Flint Hook.
Flint.
One word. Flint Hook. So you could hook things and also start a fire.
Cool. I guess I'll jump into something quickly. I finished up Mass Effect Andromeda.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. So
you've been playing a lot.
I will be getting back into that. I miss playing video games. If you guys didn't know, I was off on vacation for a week. I was out in Sunrise in Miami, Florida, during my sister's baby shower.
Nice.
So I haven't done any gaming, and I'm recalibrating since I've come back. But I'm going to hit it hard, starting Hasta Mañana.
And you're going to stream
tomorrow.
Too, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Cool. So I finished the game. I think I had close to 90 hours in there to finish the game.
Holy shit, dude.
Yeah.
Think about that. Since this came out, it was 90 hours. Plus, he was in Hawaii for a week. So think about how dense those other weeks were.
Yeah. It was good.
I lost my friend.
That's awesome. That kind of proves that this game is worth beating, really, if it's lacking on your attention.
I thought so. It sets you up for the sequel because this is going to be a new trilogy at least, right?
At least.
And I thought the ending, like boss fight, could have been a little more challenging. But I'm playing on the normal setting, so I'm not playing on hardcore or hell or whatever you are.
Do you think it was less challenging because by then you had already buffed out your character with all the features that you prefer? Or
I don't know, because I generally played this game as a shooter. I didn't use the abilities much.
Okay.
Oh, thank you.
Well, I can kind of as you know, I've been playing it on Insanity, and at first I had a lot of difficulty dying constantly, but I've made it only to the second planet, and combat is significantly easier because now I actually have all of my abilities.
I haven't even
I wanted to use.
I didn't even finish leveling up my character because I basically
it wasn't necessary.
Yeah.
Okay.
I basically took all the things I wanted, and now I've just got extras because you can only slot three abilities. Mm-hmm. So you can have 27 different abilities, but you can only slot three of them. So, I just didn't see the point in leveling.
Is it worth your 90 hours?
Yeah. Yeah. Sure. I mean, obviously, we've talked about the faults of this game
and
nonstop.
How much the most recent patch, how much of an improvement was it?
I didn't see nominal. I didn't see much improvement at all. I did also finish my romance. I'm not going to spoil anything, but I did have sex with an alien, and it was glorious.
Was it with PB?
I'm not going to spoil.
Fetra?
Yes, it was.
Oh, you picked PB?
Yeah.
That's not PB. A new alien. PB was in...
I'm not an alien fucker. Like none of the other Mass Effects, I always went human. But there wasn't a fucking human to go with.
How about Cora?
No.
Yeah, I don't really like her either.
Cora's
I hate her.
Hot.
No, the every blonde? Time I every no. time I like talk
I
to Cora, I don't know. I call her bitch. I don't call her by her first name. I'm sorry.
Wow.
No, but I'm still very unhappy with the male choices. I met the Angara finally.
Did you try? Have
I
you
met
seen
the Angara, and it's
did you
like
see the Latin lover?
The Latin lover? No, not yet. Not quite yet.
Okay.
Yeah, but you this game basically gave me two black male options. Like, if I want
right
to go, if I want to go male for my romance interests, I mean, heterosexual male, they're both black. The Angar voiceovers, he's obviously black. I'm just saying, there's very little diversity.
You're right.
Very little diversity.
And we talked about this
or
last
too
week.
Too much diversity.
Yeah, I think the problem is they went so far women-centric in this game that there's just not enough male options.
The women are pissed.
It kind of upset me, like the way Left 4 Dead 2 upset me, how I know it's based in the South, and there were there was two black people, but like no Asians. Like Asians didn't exist.
Yeah, there's no Asians in the South, Chi.
I'm sorry?
There's no Asians in the South.
I lived in the South.
What? When?
And there were plenty of Asians. I lived in Atlanta.
Oh, really?
For 3 years. Oh. Yes.
Well,
and there's Filipinos everywhere. You guys know that very well.
Well, there.
Sam was trying to tell me that she thinks more Filipinos in the United States than in Philippines. I was like, are you crazy?
Yeah. No, that's not possible. That's not possible. There might be more Mexicans in America than Mexico.
That's true. Yeah. I even heard the stat where like Mexico is having a hard time finding farmhands. So like southern Mexico.
Oh, okay.
Like Venezuela and shit.
The really poor ones.
They're going to Mexico to work.
Yeah, gotcha.
So crazy.
Yeah. Anyways, what was I talking about?
I fucked
an alien. And... They actually did decent on the sex scenes, like
not too much, not too little.
Yeah, they did it right.
That's hard to do, even for movies.
And the other thing that
what happened to sex scenes? Movies doesn't happen anymore. It's always kiss, cut scene.
Well, it depends on what it's rated.
No, even then, dude.
Yeah, they don't really.
It doesn't happen. Titties,
what kind of movies you're watching?
Good luck seeing titties.
They just moved them all to TV, and then movies went
true.
A different way.
That's true.
The other thing that I wanted to say about the romance section of it in Mass Effect 2 and 3, it was very like orderly. Like you flirted up with certain ones and then you got to a certain level and it said, hey, if you go further, you're going to lock out everybody else. This game doesn't do that.
Mm-mm.
And there are several options.
It's a new galaxy, baby. It's all free and love.
Right, exactly.
And I actually appreciated it but I was also concerned that I would go too far and then, because the other Mass Effects would specifically say, hey, if you go further, you're locking out your other romance
Are
options.
You saying Gil didn't come storming in the room?
He wanted
like
to.
Jealous.
Every time I tried talking to that dude, I stopped talking to him because it was getting too, I was like... I almost had to click the flirt again because
I wish I knew what you guys were talking
getting
about.
Getting a little extreme here. Yeah,
he's
so
the guy that runs your engine core.
Yeah. Oh. Runs your engine. Mm. Yeah.
Cored my engine.
But I ended up not selecting some flirt options because I didn't want to like go too far in it. And then I found out later some of the romance options you can't get it locked in into a relationship with them. They only will do casual relationships.
Wow. Or people where you show interest and they turn you down, yeah. even though the flirting option is there. And then I know, and I doubt this is a spoiler, but there's this point where I'm talking to Suvi and she's the lesbian. And the whole entire conversation, Suvi, yeah. I was being a complete bitch to her. Like I am to most women, I guess, that I come across in video games. And all of a sudden, the flirt option came up, and it straight up said, I like you. And so after not even having a good conversation with this person, I could have just blatantly confessed to her that I liked her. Yep. And I think it would have locked her as my romance option.
No, you can flirt for a long you can flirt for a long time before it locks you in. I didn't actually get the actual sex scene. I've been using actual a lot this podcast. I need to stop using actual.
Keep going.
The sex scene didn't happen until almost the end of the game for me. So I'm not sure if it's different for different characters, but...
Nighthawk says, in Stardew, I romanced Emily only because Clint liked her. I was an asshole.
That's the way to do it. Good job, Nighthawk.
Have you guys ever done that?
Like in real life or in the video game?
Going off a girl just because someone you didn't like or a friend?
No.
You guys are true to the bro code?
Yeah. No.
Okay. We got rules.
Yeah, we have rules. We're not animals.
Yeah.
So that was it for Mass Effect anyways.
But Chad and I are Eskimo brothers.
Yes, we are.
Yeah. Where are we going now? Hmm. Well, I guess Overwatch is on here twice.
No, I deleted the second entry, but I want to talk about Overwatch Uprising. So this is the new single-player mode that they have in Overwatch. I don't know if it's going to stick around or not. I feel like it just might, but it incorporates all the different kinds of Overwatch into it. There's like a defend this objective area. There's a push the cart payload area, and it reminds me a lot of Man vs. Machine in Team Fortress 2, if you're familiar with that. And I enjoy. Are you trying to turn the light on?
Yeah.
It's right there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. There we go.
Thank you.
So it's a lot like Man vs. Machine in TF2, and it's fun. It's a good way to play Overwatch where it doesn't have like the.
How many people are on your team?
We have to deal with something competitively.
Yeah,
and
it doesn't
feel competitive. It's not as monotonous as, let's say, a practice game.
Yeah, and like it's not as bad as AI.
Are you entitled to finish this single-player option, or can you just drop it at any time and just walk away?
I mean, you could, but then you'd be letting down the people on your team.
How many people? Oh, how many waves?
You just said single-player.
No, it's co-op.
Co-op. Yeah.
Okay.
So single-player maybe not the right.
I'm confused.
Term
all right.
For it.
I've never played it yet, but I'm curious to know more.
Yeah.
How many waves?
It's not really wave survival. It's not like you just...
They just keep going?
Just keep throwing. Yeah, I mean, I couldn't really figure out if the enemies just are nonstop and they keep coming at you. I think there's actually a set amount. But they start you off with, like, the four basic characters, Reinhardt, Torbjorn, Tracer, and a healer, Mercy. And that's, like, a good combo to start with. But you can go into a different mode... And you can play whatever characters you want. And, of course, you get chests for this, too. So there's a reason to do this other than just to play the mode for fun. But I found it enjoyable. I didn't find it as stressful as sometimes playing Overwatch can be. Even though I don't play ranked in Overwatch, sometimes when I go into a multiplayer game, I'm just like, oh, my God. I feel like nobody's, like, coming together and fighting on the objective or doing what they need to be doing. It can be frustrating. But in this one, I don't know. I felt it was a little more relaxing. Then I tried the hard mode. They have four different difficulties on it. So we tried the harder one. I was playing with Fastidious, and we had trouble making it through that one. So the challenge was there. It kind of takes a while to ramp up. Like, the whole thing is, I'd say, about 15, maybe 20 minutes top to make it to beginning to end on this. But it really gets difficult in the latter part when you're playing on the higher difficulty. I feel like we would have been better if we had four people.
Yeah, it sounds like a lot of fun, and... The first time I think I remember Overwatch implementing a cooperative player versus environment.
Halloween?
Was Halloween.
Yeah. Which
and was fun. I was waiting for them to bring something back that would put people in that position where you're working together towards a goal.
This? It's team building. Because we've talked about this before, is not even team building, like just making people become friends. The majority of my Steam friends before the podcast. We're all from Left 4 Dead 2.
Yeah.
When you're tested against other people, you can make friends like some people say, not, I mean, this, I would never compare playing PvE on a video game to, like, I guess that's what I'm doing, to war or whatever. But when you're, there's opposition and you're working together, that yeah. can make a stronger bond than, like, being a coworker. You could be a coworker with somebody for years, but if you, until you work on a project together, you don't really become friends.
Yeah, yeah. For sure.
And so this, you know, in Overwatch, I don't think I've
What's
ever...
What's this mode called again, by the way?
Uprising.
Uprising.
I don't think ever once I've friended somebody that I didn't already know right. in Overwatch.
And
but
that's
here, a, you could.
Yeah, right. And that's what I like about video gaming in general. It builds this, like, camaraderie. Yeah. Am I saying that right?
No. Camaraderie.
Camaraderie, thank you. When it comes to, it's almost like experiencing the same, like in war, like experiencing a battle, experiencing a storyline with somebody else. It's co-relation, but not only going through the same thing, but having different experiences with it and having something to relative and in terms of conversation with another gamer that I can't have with a majority of the people I interact with just because they haven't experienced it. So,
yeah.
You know, it's almost like a secret language, really.
Yeah, for sure.
They do have cutscenes at the beginning of this too. So they continue to piece out the story of Overwatch through these small cutscenes at the beginning of games or those little trailers they do for each character. Like, I feel like we're getting this bit by bit. Well, in the comics, they had those as well. But I
think if we were really paying attention, there's kind of a story there, for sure.
Oh, yeah, there not. Definitely is.
There
but
is.
They're just not giving it to you all like, you know, here it is, start to finish. There's a story, beginning, middle, and end. They're just giving you a little bit by bit.
Has there been another game that does that in this manner?
Maybe TF2 to an extent. I mean, TF2 started with, like, characterization. Like, you have all these different characters who are very different from each other. There's a very loose plot, like, okay, these people are fighting over, like, this land, and they're competing corporations or businesses or whatever, and then, you know, and it kind of built outward from that. And I don't know, Overwatch
there's
kind
still
of
not a story.
I feel like Overwatch, the story is out there somewhere, but they're just giving it to us bit by bit, or they're probably making it up as they go along. But
it's like a Lost style.
Yeah, I kind of like that. But if you were just to come out and say, "Here is the Overwatch story," or "Here is like the Overwatch Bible or encyclopedia." You know, when they make a movie or a TV show, they have, like, the Bible, and that's supposed to have, like, everything about the universe that exists, and then you only get a portion of that in the movie or the story.
It's almost like an MMO.
Yeah, and I'm wondering if because of their experiences with WoW and StarCraft and all, they've decided to do it this way, because I can imagine mm-hmm. from their perspective, why give all this information and then try to fit the pieces in when we progress versus here's kind of our loose idea, but as we're progressing, maybe we don't want the story to follow this path exactly, right?
Yeah, for sure.
And well, hey. The way that they do this game, too, I almost did a YouTube video on this, but then I got lazy and didn't. But a whole
do
thing
it,
on like storytelling and video games. And one way to do that is to just do strong characterization. So TF2 is an example. Overwatch is an example. Overwatch, you got people like you got a fucking cowboy and a gorilla in a spacesuit. You know, it's way the fuck out there. You have these very different personalities. For a video game, that's perfect because these people, they have a different silhouette. You can recognize them immediately out of the corner of your eye in a split second. You can say, that's Winston. That's cowboy dude.
Regardless
McCree.
Of skin they have.
McCree.
Not only that, like dude. For instance, just last night at my bar, I saw a girl who had a D.Va phone case. And it was her little bunny symbol, and it had the patterns and the color scheme.
Please tell me she
for
knew
D.Va.
What it was.
Of course she knew what it was.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so... and
in love.
Don't worry, I'm getting her Battle.net, but it's it's just one of those things where it's people grow an attachment to their heroes, it's very own brand. Almost like each hero could be its own brand too.
Yeah, you have these characters that are just so well defined and so separate from each other that people naturally gravitate towards one of them that they identify with more, and that's great. But how do you work all that into a story? That's where it becomes very tricky. How do you make
do it little by little
a normal story out of all these characters? Yeah, so I can understand why they're doing this. You know, why they don't just kind of Overwatch the movie or something, because that just I don't think it would work. I don't think it'd be as good.
So. Uprising, the little bits that they're giving you, is it entertaining? Is it makes sense? Is it the story.
Like, to be honest, I didn't even follow it that closely because everybody skipped it except me. So I was like, well, I don't want to hold everyone else up because I know everyone's seen the cutscene like a million times. So I was like, all right,
sit there and watch it.
I'll check it out eventually. I'm really not into the whole StoreCraft or
if you guys
Overwatch
were to say,
that much anyway.
Who's the poster boy for
Overwatch? It's got to be Tracer.
For you, see?
Poster boy, for you. Poster
not
girl.
For me. No, I didn't say that for me. I'm just saying Tracer has kind of been the iconic character.
Because Tracer and Winston were the first two.
And what do you guys think?
She was on the box art.
Tracer, because of the statue and everything else when they were first... She was the most identifiable person before pre-release.
Yeah, probably Tracer.
I think it's Soldier 76. Oh. Only because I saw their panel, and he got, like, the crowd went wild when, like, it was all the people that do the voice, and when he was like, we're all soldiers now. Like, fucking everybody went crazy. How was
people
that?
People jerking
good,
off
right?
in the, yeah. Yeah, no, it's not bad.
I've never tried
the exact
before.
Same voice you do for everybody.
Yeah. I never tried it
I'm
ever
I'm
going to
pull
before.
Out the Smite episode recorded like 4 years ago where you do an impression of everybody.
No, we're not going to do that.
The only downside I saw for this one is they came out with new skins, and I thought the skins were just a complete throwaway. Did you guys
get out of hand with the skins? I probably can't say that coming from Heroes of the Storm, but there are so many skins out there now.
There are. Are there any
new loot boxes with
this? This was an Uprising loot box, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
specific ones. You know, someone mentioned
a major thing. This isn't just like a brawl.
No, this is a major. Okay.
Yeah. Someone mentioned this to me the other day about Overwatch competitive. They don't use skins. Is that a reason? Are they not allowed to? I never noticed it before.
Maybe it changes the silhouette.
Yeah, it changes the silhouette maybe on a couple.
But that they shouldn't, like, they should be keeping that in mind when they're making these skins, not to change the silhouette very drastically.
Yeah, but that's
there has been instances in games where a skin has caused a bug or some sort of interaction that was unintended. So I don't know if it was something like that, but yeah. I'd never noticed that before, and then when someone mentioned it, I was like, yeah, I think you're right. They don't have any skins in competitive.
So who played Diablo 3?
That's just a quick note. I got in the Diablo 3 Necromancer beta.
Yeah.
So I was planning to play this today to talk about a little bit, and it's not available till Tuesday. So this is just a preview that I'm going to play Diablo 3 Necromancer and give you an update next week.
I do have a question. So if I just own the game, do I get the Necromancer free?
I think it's an update.
Expansion?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's an update.
Probably an update. The only thing that could have happened that'll bring me back into.
Well, because the Crusader came out a while ago.
I don't give a shit. Mm-hmm. Necromancer is literally my favorite type of anything ever.
It's really early too. Placeholder everywhere, everything like that.
By anything ever, I meant like class in RPGs.
I do like Necromancer and Diablo.
The studio is the same in chat. Necromancer
oh, there's
will
already
cost
been
money
one in Diablo.
Oh,
Diablo 2.
That's right. Necro will cost money because when I went to do it, it gave me like a default currency to spend to purchase the Diablo the Necromancer in Diablo 3. So thank you, Fast. Yes, it will.
Yeah, I remember. Yeah, Diablo 2 definitely had a Necromancer. And when
I don't
Diablo
like Necromancers
out,
that much.
I was like, where's the Necromancer? Oh, is it this tiki looking guy?
Yeah,
like,
not
that's
the
supposed
tiki.
To be?
Yeah, he's a witch doctor, right?
the witch doctor. Yeah. I was like, is he supposed to replace the Necromancer?
Nazebo.
Because he is technically.
Well, Nazebo's the name they gave him in Heroes and Storm.
Yeah.
I'm
well,
so glad.
His name's Nazebo now then.
I'm so glad that I didn't get into. Like, I played Diablo. I beat it once or twice, and then I was out. I'm so glad I played it like that.
You played it back when it was shit, though, dude. Like, it's come a long way.
I would love to replay Diablo 3 with somebody who hasn't played Diablo before, because when I played it with somebody who had already played through the main story. I felt like I was...
Because you play with a bunch of, like, these hardcore ones, which won't meander it, won't look at the lore, won't do it. Like, sometimes you got to tell people, you know, relax, we're not in a race here. I want to experience the game. Like, is that such a hard thing?
Make sure you start, like, you want to create characters that are around the same level too. You don't want to jump into someone else's game and have a big
and that's the cool thing about difference. Diablo also they have seasons, and if you click the seasonal character, it's just for that season, and everybody starts over at one. So if you're interested in getting into Diablo, season 10 just rolled out recently, so if you roll a season 10 character and you're playing with somebody else, they probably haven't either played a season 10 or they're not very far.
It's not too
it.
Much. Can somebody find out how much this is going to be? I'll tell you whether or not it's going to be worth worth the thing or not. PUBG had a very big patch came out.
This
is their monthly patch. They're gonna have a patch like this every month. It was very, very noticeable. It played
and all in good ways.
Yeah. Last week I said it played 20% smoother. Now I would say that's like 50% smoother. It is really cool. I still can't stream it. My frames dropped to complete shit. There's a new gun in the game. There's
new scope, right?
There's a new scope, which is 2X scope. There is motorcycles.
Right? Mm-hmm.
There are motorcycles with sidecars. There are you can crouch and run now, like a shimmy or something.
I don't know. Zoidberg or like what?
no, like you know, hustle while you're crouching. Before it was just walking.
Gotcha.
Now you can like that's a very tactical move.
Yeah.
You see soldiers move like that all the time. So that's going on.
The Mayo says,
"Oh, you have there are tags on the map now, so you can actually
point
coming
out
of the plane. You can point where you want to go. That's destination nice. Tags." Yeah.
So the Mayo said it added bad ultra wide support. So I'm assuming it didn't.
They had none before, and now it's
Bobby.
Bad.
You play ultra wide, right?
No.
What do you play? You play 22x9?
Nope, 16x9, 1440.
Oh,
yeah, 1440p is still 16x9.
Oh, okay, my bad.
So anyway, wins all around. They also added frying pans. If you have one as a melee thing and you're not using it, it hangs off your belt loop and covers your ass. You can now shoot that frying pan and be saved. Like no,
it's like a helmet for your ass.
It's a helmet for your ass.
Nice,
which is fantastic.
So when you're in prone, it's effective.
Maybe. But I would say, like, when you're running away, if you get shot in the ass, it'll save.
When you're Zoidberging out, and it pings off your ass?
Yeah.
It's not realistic enough to actually hinder your movement, though, when you're running away.
No.
I imagine if there was a frying pass slap, like, a flying pan slapping my ass while running, that would make it really hard.
I'd be aroused the whole time while I was slapping my ass.
If you know somebody that's iron deficient, if they use a cast iron grill... frying pan. That's enough
really?
Iron. You'll get enough iron off of the
frying.
I
will switch to the...
They're
wow,
expensive.
Thank you.
The more
it'll
you know.
It'll last you...
I have one.
And your children and your children and your children's children. Like, they don't... Then nothing ever happens.
As long as you take care of them.
Puma says, no official price yet for Necro, but speculation is between 10 to 20 bucks.
I'd pay 10, not 11. Listen, Blizzard.
Yeah, 10.
If you want the DL gaming
pricey problem, for just a...
You listen up.
Speaking of 3, I know we're talking about Diablo 3, but you just talked about Mass Effect Andromeda. When I went out to Florida, I actually picked up my old 360, which has my Mass Effect 3 official, you know, transferred save.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So I will be completing that game via console, and I'll just
can
follow
you go
up
back at this
on
point?
That.
I guess you could.
I could.
It's a
because
completely different story.
I replayed Mass Effect 3 on the generic save, and I despised it because it was very impersonable for me. And now that I have my game save, I can just pick off where I left off and finish it the way my Shepard is meant to finish the game. So
cool.
Bobby,
good.
Are you a master now?
Yeah, talk to us. Bobby, you got a bunch of Heroes of the Storm stuff up there.
Before that, like, speaking of master, like, lately I've been going to Bobby's Steam page. If you don't know, he gets 100 million comments on his page every day because of his Steam level. And I keep going, "Hello, senpai. Senpai, notice me. Hello."
And he hasn't responded, has he?
Not once. And I've left at least 12 different messages.
You even check that shit?
No, not usually. Because people post like a lot of hearts and emoticons and shit. Yeah, so I never check that.
You'll find me in there. Maybe one day.
Now.
Tell me when you actually notice.
He's showing up every day.
Now I'm going to check him.
What we don't know is Bobby actually doesn't look at porn. He just scrolls through his comments and just jerks off to him.
I'm kind of a big deal.
Yeah.
I have many leather-bound books in my apartment.
And apparently he never... You know, uses the blinds on his windows.
No.
So
I think
he's one of those.
There.
Bobby, if you take a trip, your next vacation destination would definitely be Russia. I think you're going to be super famous.
Yeah.
If you go
seriously. Just wear a shirt.
All his friends are Russian.
I get it.
Digi. Just wear a shirt that says, "Yes, I'm Digi." Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'll just have my user icon. That's pretty... oh, there we go. There's the proof. April 21st at 12:04 a.m. All right. We're kidding.
Nighthawk just posted up...
Nighthawk doing
the screenshot.
Jeez, screenshot.
There's at least three or four other occurrences of me talking just like that, too.
All right. Get back to Heroes of the Storm, Bobby.
Yeah. So I finally achieved Master Rank. It's in Team League, but I'll take it.
But that's... I mean, that's awesome, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's great.
So what is Mastered? Break it down for me.
I don't know what like top percentage
that is. Top 2% or something like that?
Yeah, well, Grandmaster is top 200 players. Master, I think, is 5,000 on top of that.
So does that mean your whole team that you play with is all Master now?
No, it's not team. Everyone has their own individual Team League rating, but most of the people that I am playing Team League with are our Master rank. But I was just in the zone. This was maybe a couple of days ago. I went on a 7-game winning streak, and I just, you know, I've been sleeping a lot more. I've been drinking a lot more water, and I've been going to the gym. I'm trying to improve things outside of my gaming life, hoping that'll improve my play at Heroes of the Storm.
Jesus.
I know, right?
Dude, guys, when we walked in, he was playing and watching the stream. I have talked about this before. There's a problem. But also, he's doing really well. Like, if I had a friend that was doing heroin...
He's like one of the best heroin.
Like the best heroin taker?
Yeah.
And making money at it?
Yeah.
Like, fucking, well, who am I to judge?
Well, is he making money at it? He's not.
He might be. He's a master, dude.
Yeah.
He's literally the first master of anything I've ever met, ever.
That's true.
I've never even met a black belt. Like, he's a master.
Yeah. But he's not a grandmaster.
No, not yet.
Let's talk about that.
But the season is young, so there's plenty of chances to improve there. But yeah, I was playing real good that night.
You're streaming, right?
I was in the zone. No, I never stream when I play those games because it affects my frame rate. Not even the frame rate, but there's just a bit of latency that happens when I stream. It's weird. So I don't like to have any interruptions. But yeah, and there was another thing I want to talk about loosely related to Heroes of the Storm. And I'm just going to throw this out to you guys. It's an ethical question. I'm going to explain the situation, give you both sides of the argument, and then you're going to say right or wrong, because this is something that's come up in the Heroes of the Storm community a couple of times. And most recently with the biggest Heroes of the Storm streamer, Chew8, has started doing this bronze to grandmaster stream where he takes an account that has been tanked, it's bronze 5, and he plays it until he gets to grandmaster. So this is supposed to be like an educational stream. So people who watch are like, oh, I'm in silver, and he's playing silver, so he's going to explain what these people are doing wrong during the game, and I'm going to learn something from this. And then it's also to show that there is no such thing as MMR hell. You know, you aren't just stuck at your MMR because all your teammates are bad. Like, you actually need to improve, and it's possible to move up the ranks. So, I mean, that's the pro side. The con side is a lot of people, and there's a big Reddit post about this, a lot of people have complained that, well, number one, you've got to tank an account. You've got to take an account and lose games in ranked purposely until you get that to the bottom of the barrel, bronze 5. So you're ruining everyone's experience all the way down.
What do you start with? How much do you have to tank? Is it just like one or two games?
Well, you get 10 placement matches, and then it'll place you somewhere. I don't know how low you can place. The highest you can place is diamond 3, but I don't know how low you can place.
Okay.
But you have to lose quite a few games to get to bronze 5. So once you do that, it's...
How many
times
has he done this?
Well, this is the first time he's done it, but other people have done it more than once. But
and people do
once you do that, then you have to give someone that account, which violates Blizzard Terms of Service. So, I mean, that's a whole other like legal thing, but, you know, it's like, it's one of those things nobody says they actually do, but of course they're doing it. And then once he plays this account, you've got a grandmaster, one of the best players in North America, like stomping on these people who are very, very bad at the game, and that's making lopsided games.
Which is even worse.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, so basically, and this is a huge problem, so much in Dota, as a matter of fact, that they're now changing something in Dota where you have to have a phone number linked to your account so you can't create Smurfs. They're trying to cut back on the Smurfs in Dota because it's such a huge problem. And it's a problem in Heroes, too. It's a problem for anything that uses any sort of matchmaking ratio or MMR. So
when we talk about how moral this is or not, how many accounts do you have, Bobby?
Oh, I have 3 accounts, but I don't have any. No, dude, I'm not. They aren't. All my accounts are diamond or higher.
Yeah.
No,
that's the problem.
Smurfs.
He won't play with me anymore because all his accounts are too high.
People think I have Smurfs, like I want to beat up on some new players. No, all my accounts are like diamond and up.
You just want to play with your friends originally.
Yeah, and I want to have like accounts where I just don't give a shit. It's like, all right, I'll just, you know, do
exactly.
whatever.
Well, you do give a shit.
For me,
I mean, I always give a shit, but if I'm playing on my main account, I'm like, everybody better be playing 100% on this. There's going to be problems.
Exactly. Like, for me, I don't think it's morally wrong because video games are there for, I mean, video games exist as entertainment. And if somebody has to play at a lower rank to either play with somebody else or to get the experience that they want out of it, like climbing all the from bronze to grandmaster being one of those things, that is them using the game or playing the game in the fashion that they want to play it. Yeah. Because not everybody that plays Overwatch wants to be a competitive Overwatch player. There are people who will never even jump into a competitive game because that's how they choose and desire to play that game. I think it's just that person's preference and what style they would want to make the most out of the game for themselves.
Yeah. I think there's entertainment value in it. And it creates an episodic on the stream. Like, I tune in one night, he's in bronze. I tune in the next night, oh, he's in silver now. How's this going? You know, there's a continuance to it. So that makes it interesting. So, like, I want to be there for the finale when he finally makes Grandmaster. It's like watching a show. So, yeah, it is definitely entertaining. I do see the problem, though.
Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead, Chad, because I think you were on the con side.
Yeah, he's on the con side.
So my thing is, if it's not built into the game, like, in order, you got to tank and then stomp pubs. Like, you're hurting the games going in and out.
No,
you know
what
I mean?
Tank. Somebody else tanked.
Yeah, but still, it's an account
on purpose, though.
Yeah,
yeah.
You have to lose the games. Yeah. Meaning, like, they're just sitting in the well or whatever to fucking. Yeah. So you're tanking inside and out.
Which happens when people naturally AFK or
and fair enough.
The mom rage or the girlfriend rage. It's.
But my thing is there's tons of people to teach you to get to from bronze to silver. Like, do we need to get you all the way to bronze 5 to see you start from the absolute bottom? Like, that's just, you know, that's just a little mental masturbation at that point, right? Can't you start from silver or gold?
Well,
like, you know what I mean?
The
like
numbers too, dude.
What?
Like financial, like it's episodic.
Yeah, the viewership has been higher than usual.
But here's the other deal. If you're doing this, and this is the number one streamer that streams Heroes of the Storm, why can't just Blizzard give him a fucking level bronze 5?
Like, yeah, he should have some pull. That's true.
Like, why does it have to be that?
Well, because I don't think they would support lopsided games. Because what you have happening, this is one person doing it, but I've known people who have done this purposefully with other accounts, like tanked them on purpose. Then they group up with a friend of theirs who they're trying to boost.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm a good player, but I'm playing on a bronze account, and I'm playing with my buddy who's in gold, and I'm helping him. You know, we get matches against lower-level people that we're going to easily beat them. We get free points and rank ups. And that's the real problem, because essentially what you have here is just unfair matches. Blizzard aims to have matches that are between 45 and 55% chance of winning. Anything outside of that is considered lopsided, and they just want to avoid that at all costs. So you have matches that are just not fair. And I don't know.
Bobby, how many people have done this? I know you don't know, but let's guess.
Well, on stream, like as like an entertainment thing. Well, I mean, it's happening right now with Chew 8, and then a couple months ago, it was happening with a really big Russian streamer, and then I think there was I saw another one. Like, honestly, not that many.
Let's go 10.
Yeah, less.
Well,
than 10.
I mean, okay. Grandmaster is only top 500, right? So you only have
top 200
or top 200. Like, right.
And there's probably
three or four,
a few people trying it that'll never achieve it, and all this stuff. Okay, this is where I fall. What are the casualties? What pros and cons? Let's see. So there are some people that have never played HOTS again because they got squashed. Like, that might be the game. Like, oh my God, this is so unfair. I'm going to get out. But I feel like on the other side, people that are invested are going to be, they're going to be around longer and be more invested because, oh, it is possible. There is no ELO hell. So it's going to inspire way more people than it's going to shun away, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's true. And the other thing, at least it's not Dota or League of Legends where you have individual levels. So you just can't be, because like I used to watch a guy named Angry Testy who played Heroes of New Earth. And all he would do is sit in mid and he would get 4 or 5 levels higher than everybody else and just fucking own everybody. Like, that's what he would
do. Dota.
This was Heroes of New Earth.
Oh, Han. Okay.
Yeah. So he would just do that and own every game. He would just be, he would play the game better than everybody else and then get higher than everybody else. And then 1v5 the whole other team, you know? And you can't do that in HOTS. So at least in that respect, you know, if you're playing Bronze 5 and your other four members aren't soaking the lanes, there's only so much you can do. And, you know, even if you're 2-8, you might not necessarily, you know yeah, what I mean? So in that respect.
You have to be playing the right hero, too, if you want to try and carry in that game. Yeah. So, yeah, there's good arguments to be made on both sides of it. But I thought that was interesting because this is coming up. It comes up every so often in the community.
I had a little bit of hope that you had put that up there because you said you were going to say you were going to do the Bronze to Grandmaster Challenge.
No. That it takes so much time.
But you got time, Bobby. You're about to be out of a job.
Yeah. Not till summer.
Okay, my bad.
All right, what else we got?
I played Dominia, which, thanks, Chad, for sending that over. It's a gladiatorial simulation game, and it is 500,000 times better than... What was the other one?
What was that other one? Not Rome.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. The spreadsheet game with gladiators.
Yeah.
Wasn't it just called, like, Gladiator or something like that?
Sure.
It had a real basic name.
Yeah. Anyway, we can forget about it, because buy Dominia. It's if you care about gladiators and... Like all you have to do
is it early access or was it
I don't know.
Full?
All you have to do. I haven't been to the store page. I just downloaded it. You know,
One down, Bobby.
Yeah.
Keep talking.
Domina, I guess. I'm like
Domina.
Domina.
Yeah.
Domina. D-O-M-I-N-A, and you get these cute little guy.
It's kind of pixel graphic.
What's it look like? It looks exactly like another game. Anyway,
it kind of reminded me of what was that Kickstarter game that we were Naruto Boy?
Kind really of. Good pixel graphics. So you have a stable of gladiators, and you can train them, and you can pay them, you can set them free, you can sell them, you can do a bunch of stuff.
Is it strategy game at that point?
Yeah, but not. I mean, it's
strategy light.
Yeah, strategy light.
Gotcha.
You can buy them a bit more weapons and do all, and there's perks. There's perks that can keep on going. You pay your trainer because your trainer is always going to be there.
Gotcha.
If you level up your trainer, that stuff is persistent. But if you level up a personal guy,
and then he dies,
then you're fucked. So there's that going on. He goes out. Your guy goes out there, and you like really root for your guy because you're.
Is there
so much money?
So this is all simulation. It's not like
there's
control?
A perk where it's called mind control, and you can take control of your guy.
Okay,
I couldn't get it to work at this point of the stream. I was drunk, and I didn't read one thing, and I was able to pull off like a good amount of wins.
Okay,
so like it's that level. If you're smarter than a drunk Emilio, you can play this game basically. But I couldn't. I did hit a point where I couldn't. Okay, I was like, okay, I got to be sober. I need to read what's going on. But I am stoked about this game. It's graphic. You really root. And even on a one-sided battle, it's still exciting because, like...
There's blood everywhere.
Not just that, but your guy might get one good swipe in or vice versa.
Oh, I got you.
And you're like, oh, shit. If he gets another one of those, it's over. Criticals are huge. You don't wait
Have you
too
seen
long.
Your gladiator lose?
Oh, yeah, a bunch. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But, like, if you set some slaves free, like, the other guys, their morale goes up. Because, like, oh, there is possibility for hope and stuff like that. Or if you could sell them if you need cash. I died the first time because my slave master, the person that owns everybody, she died of no water. I don't know what you call that. What do you call that?
Dehydration.
She died of dehydration. I didn't know I had to feed her. Like, I didn't know I had to feed me, I guess.
Okay.
So she died. And then, so
that's
I figured out how to do it later. I'm a conscientious slave master.
Okay.
You know, I gave all my water to my people. Like, you know, that's why I died.
Fair enough.
Anyway, it's a great game. $10. Fuck yeah. You spent $10 on me, my friend.
Yeah, I did.
And
I
you could be a slave master well, too. Well, I wanted.
I almost
$9.99.
Yeah,
you
seriously.
Like a stable of slaves? $10.
I almost bought it for myself. Well, I was gonna buy it, and then I was like, you know what? I'd rather it be in Emilio's stable of games, and I'll play it off his account. So that's why I did it.
Thanks, buddy.
Yep.
I finished Mr. Shifty. I did that on stream the night before. What a fantastic game. Holy shit.
You said one was really hard. The end, last boss was
so hard.
Or were you drunk?
No, I was sober and I was determined. And I was like, I might as well do it. I would say I had three attempts at the last boss. And the first one was half an hour. Second one was maybe half an hour. And third one was probably half an hour. But, just everything happened to go right the last one. I might have died 75 times over those three attempts. The last boss is not the last boss. It's the guys getting up to the last boss, and the last boss is kind of easy.
Oh, gotcha.
But who cares? There's no ending, no story. Doesn't matter. Game's fucking amazing. What? In my game of the year.
Really?
Yeah. Music's fantastic. You feel awesome. God, it's just so good. It's just so good. So cool. Definitely buy this. Many, many copies should be sold.
Mr. Shifty, you're saying.
Mr. Shifty. It's just a very good video game.
Cool.
All right.
I can't keep track. Did we cover everything?
I think so. Lines? Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. I got some mobile stuff. You got the mobile corner stuff? I'll be quick, actually, on this one.
All right.
Beer chef?
No, I'm okay. Thank you.
Chad's mobile corner.
All right. So, first thing up is Shadow Wars. I really wanted to like this game. Bobby, can you bring up like screenshots or videos or something so you guys can take a look? So I really wanted to like this game. The problem was the game mechanics, while okay, weren't awesome. And that's the problem. After a little while, the game just stopped being super fun. But everything else around it, the kind of the story, you're like summoning these like demon style guys from like hell and fighting against each other. It was all like really cool. The art style is awesome. But then the game just wasn't. The problem was you take these turns fighting back and forth, but it pretty much your guys get one shot. So if you're not like clearing out guys, they're just getting one shot, and it just loses the fun aspect. Like, you'd want like some back and forth and healing and all. And I wasn't getting that as much as I wanted.
10 for presentation, 2 for gameplay.
Maybe more than 2, because yeah. I actually played this a while. You know, because that's my whole thing in mobile is games always look good, and they got everything else around them, and then the gameplay is complete shit. Yeah. This wasn't complete shit, but it wasn't great either. It was a 5 for gameplay, maybe. And I just wanted a little bit more out of that. So, right. But everything else on it was really cool looking. The other game that I've been starting to play, and maybe I should have waited till next week, but I just wanted to bring this up. The game is called Sarah is Missing. It's abbreviated as SIM, but Sim obviously is a million things in mobile, so you probably won't find it that way. So look up Sarah is Missing. It is a simulation game, sort of. Basically, you play yourself who found a phone, and you're trying to figure out what happened to this person. So,
real video and
yeah,
real pictures.
Real video, real pictures. And, you know, it pretends like to get a phone call, and it'll be like somebody saying, "Hey, Sarah, where are you? I can't hear you."
Super cool.
So, concept. Yeah, it's a really cool kind of concept, but it's got this functionality in there called Iris. And Iris is kind of an AI that's trying to help you find Sarah. So the phone's like broken, and it's trying to fix the phone while you're trying to find Sarah. So different things are unlocking. It's an unlock mechanic for the game or whatever.
I feel like they added the AI later because they needed to bring the game together.
Yeah, you know, probably. Or maybe it's core to it. I haven't gotten to the end of the game yet. Gotcha. It's one of those games where it's going to be just an experience. It's free to play, and it's like an experience to go and go through, and then when you're done, you can delete it.
What was the game that
that's
was
really
very
unique?
Much like
that's
this,
cool.
With the videotapes?
Her Story.
Her Story, yeah. That's what this reminds me of.
So I highly recommend it. It's free. The cool thing is you got to listen. Yeah, she's obviously an actress. So But you got to listen with headphones on and all, and you got to have audio on. I rarely play with audio on. So this one's like making me...
You rarely play video games with audio on.
I just never have audio on my phone. I always have it muted. So
how old is Sarah in this? How old is she supposed to be? Like early 20s?
Early 20s, yeah.
Oh, my God, no, dude. See, I would not be going through a 20-year-old girl's phone. Like, the amount of text messages and, like, bullshit that I don't care about. Holy shit. When I confiscate kids' phones at work, like, they're always scared I'm going to go through them. I'm like, look, I really don't care what's going on. You guys have the most boring, annoying lives I can imagine. Going through your, like, I'd rather sit through a fucking... play
Elizabethan,
yeah, like an
five-act play. Play,
like nosebleed.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure that's not what you're doing in this. I'm sure that's all like
it's
interesting
not.
Stuff.
And it very quickly gets spooky. So this is kind of got some suspense to it. And sometimes I'm a little nervous to click the play button because just the very first one when you pick up the phone, you get to see one video, and it's basically. What is that movie that was shot in black and white and it's like a
Blair Witch Project.
Yeah. It's basically a Blair Witch Project where you see her face and she's running through the woods holding her phone like, oh my God, I don't know what happened.
She's a good actress.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. So I don't know how long it is. I've played it for a little bit of time. But
seems like it'd be a weird game to play like on the bus.
Yeah.
If someone saw you playing this.
It would be.
For sure.
What the fuck's up with that?
Do it on the shitter. Or
and also don't ride buses in general. Chad and I both watched.
Sometimes you don't get a choice, buddy.
Chad and I both watched Get Out this week.
Oh so did
movie.
I.
Yeah, it's a good
movie. You guys went to the movies? No, why don't we all go to the movies together?
We stole it.
Yeah.
Oh. You know, I love going to the movies.
Yeah. I'm down.
It was a lot. If your girlfriend is pestering you to watch this, because ours were, and then we liked it more than they did, I think. Like, it was pretty good.
It was really good.
It was good.
Really good, yeah.
And the moral of the story is white people.
White people
don't trust white people.
Don't trust them. Don't trust us.
All right, so we got some listener questions here. Let's roll through these.
Yeah, we got a lot this week, so we appreciate it, guys. Continue bringing them. We got a suggestions and questions thread. I thought you were going to shorten that one. Anyways, suggestions and questions thread. Please go ahead and use that. But... again, can we guys, Amelia brought this up this week. Can we try to keep the things in the right channels if possible on our Discord chat? I am guilty of it also. I'll start typing and realize I've posted in the wrong channel. But anyways.
Only because before we go live, we go right to suggestions just to fill out this section. And then if there's a bunch of chat, it's just like, what's important here? Mm-hmm. So.
But feel free to respond to the suggestions and questions. You know, like we're not telling you don't use it. We're saying if you don't know where to put it in the general.
All right. First up, Fastidious wants us to explain how Steam levels and the card system work. Wow, this could be a long one, but I'll give you the brief.
Explain it like I'm five.
Don't you have a video?
Yeah, I've got two videos.
Explain it like I'm five, Bobby.
I think only one of those videos is on the DL. I got to redo our whole YouTube thing and like put all the videos into one spot, but I think they're split up between my personal YouTube and the DL Gaming one. But the good one is on the DL Gaming one that explains all of it. But yeah, so I looked at the card system today and the whole friends list thing. So when you level up and craft cards, you can get different ways to decorate your Steam page, and you can unlock a ton of those, but really you can only use up to, I think, 10 of them. And then after that, you increase your friends list 5 every
That's
time you
I
level
need.
up to 2,000. So really that caps out at level 340. So really anything past that is absolutely useless for leveling up your Steam account. But as you play games, you may notice that you're getting card drops, and you can craft those cards. You take the card drops you get, you buy the ones you need. Cards usually range anywhere from 3 to 10 cents. And you can craft it up to 5 times, and that gives you XP, and it also gives you emoticons and wallpapers.
And badges,
one of these days,
right?
Maybe Emilio, when I'm over at your place, I'll get on your 4K, load up my Steam account, and take a picture of all my emoticons. I think we tried to do it one time here.
Yeah, and it locked it.
And it froze. It crashed his computer.
Yeah, because I've got so many of them. But I like to collect those, and then also it ranks up your Steam account. You can go to steamladder.com, I believe is the website now.
Bring it up, Bobby. I want to see you.
Bobby, are you much of an emoticon kind of guy?
He doesn't use them. He likes to have them.
Yeah, yeah. Just like that.
So he's like a robot games. That collects.
Just like his games. He likes to have them.
He's like,
it's like the skin of his victim.
He hoards emotions to himself. He doesn't share
victims.
Them.
he collects them. He doesn't.
Hey, you guys may not know this, too. I think I've plugged this before, but we do have our own little emoticons here in
Discord.
Yeah, in Discord.
Oh, yeah, I love it. I use mine all the time.
Wait, I have an emoticon?
Yep.
Yeah, you look like Butters.
Butters, nice.
Yeah.
No, he's got the little wave thing there.
Chad is our group Butters.
Yeah, grown up Butters.
Yeah,
yeah. But I'll take SkewMatters.com is the site. One of these days, I feel like I explain this every couple of months, and I like the whole Steam card thing. Usually, 2 times a year. When they're doing the holiday sales, because that's the only time you want to level up your account.
If you're serious about it.
Yeah, if you're serious about it. Well, you get more, you pay less. You get more XP per dollar, is the way that I put it. So whenever they do a Steam sale, that's when you want to level up your account.
Because they have the special cards, right?
Because when you level up, or when you craft a card, you get one wallpaper, one emoticon, and one coupon for some shitty game that you don't want. However, if you do it during a Steam sale, you get one emoticon, one wallpaper, and one holiday card. Then you can craft those holiday cards into more XP, emoticons, wallpapers, or you can sell those.
It sounds like playing Diablo, like grinding out Diablo without playing a game.
Yeah, it's very grindy.
Yeah, it's very grindy.
Yeah.
So what rank are you?
I believe I am 534.
Ooh, How the mighty have fallen.
No, that's his.
Oh. That's his level.
That's his level.
Gotcha. Yeah. There you go. 54.
54.
In the world?
Yeah.
But when we started this podcast,
he was 20.
23.
23.
Wow.
So what happened, Bobby?
People are ranking up a lot more than me. That's what's happening. Yeah, there was an interesting story last time about this guy. He had a different name at the time, but right now it's Injector. This guy was not on the board at all, spent about $15,000 to be the top rank.
Did he just do it in one Steam sale?
Just because, you know, money, and he could, you know.
Do you want a Hyundai, or do you want to be the number one person on Steam?
Right, exactly.
I mean,
that's not actually bad.
I mean, a Hyundai or
you
number
put
one
it that
person.
Way.
Yeah.
Yeah. But during the next Steam sale, I'll go into detail and maybe even do a video on that and how to.
You could, use my account to.
Yeah. Or mine. Yeah.
I'll put this out there to anyone in the DLG family. If you want some consulting, like if you want to rank up, then like let me know and I'll walk you through it so you get more XP.
Actually, that's what I've been trying.
Or just watch this video. You already have a video.
my video is a little outdated. I've got a better method for doing it. Oh. It's basically the same thing as the video I explained on our YouTube channel, but it's doing it during the holiday sale and using a plugin for Chrome called iMacros, so you can automate some of this, because it's a lot of clicking, and I know how we all hate clicking.
It's like, all I want
that's
Christmas
the only kind of game I play now.
So
Spunwire is asking what Chad and Emilio do. Let's say what each other do.
Other than each other?
So I'm telling them what you do?
Yeah.
I gotta think of something funny.
A man of many hats.
No, I'm not trying to be funny. Chad works for a console. There's only big consoles. Yeah. He works for one of the big three. He is a release manager, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
He makes sure that everything's kosher before something goes live.
I release software.
Release software.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Emilio.
But a lot of that is no. Well, there's been times in your work career where it's like very easy. Yeah. Not a lot to do. And then there's times where you're beat to death.
I have a project management certification. Well, I have a business degree, but then I'm in project management. So release management is mostly about process management. So I'm in project management.
Now I'll do mine.
No, I want to do yours. But can I start from the beginning?
Yeah, I wasted 20
So Emilio got in the grocery store business in that he was doing...
Not that I owned one. I worked inside of...
Yeah.
It was the worst thing about working at a grocery store when people ask you what you're doing. Like, oh, I work for Safeway or Vons. And people are like, oh, like corporate? And you're like, no, I work inside the store.
Yeah.
It was the worst.
But he got really good at stacking fruit.
Yeah, for sure.
As a bonus.
I stacked the fuck. You got some fruit that's like lying around? I stacked the fuck out of your fruit.
Yeah. But he got kind of frustrated that after 20-plus years of doing that, and me constantly telling him he's too smart to stack fruit for his entire life. So then he started doing Uber and Lyft stuff, and then he bought a truck because he started his own business doing a recycling business. And so he bought a truck, and then he... Uber and Lyft were kind of slowing down, so then he transitioned into doing through other services to do moving and hauling of stuff with his truck. And eventually now he has two jobs. He stopped doing other people's work and now started his own moving and hauling company. He's now got a truck, a trailer, and a recycling business. Mm-hmm. And so he actually makes more money than I do probably now.
Within 2 years of doing my own thing, I have two profitable businesses and a pretty cool podcast.
That's
so
and a back that's going out rapidly. So he's got to keep moving.
Whereas Bobby and she are going to be looking for new work fairly soon. More than confident. Yeah. Guys, I'm going broke.
The only reason, the only reason they were asking is because everybody knows what you guys do.
Yeah,
you guys bring it up all the time. Yeah. I do a lot of shit, basically.
Basically, if it's anything that involves lifting something up or moving something distances, I got a guy that can do it.
Yeah.
Or he's got a guy that can do it.
All right. Okay, this one's coming from Successor One. What are your views on achievements in games? Do you try to collect them? Do you get a sense of validation when you complete a difficult one? This is a good question. I feel like we've talked about this, but not for a long, long time, like the whole achievements thing. I
mean, a lot of the questions and a lot of things we talk about, you know,
it's cyclical.
They come up once in a while, and maybe our outlook has changed and stuff.
Yeah, and achievement's always a topic in video games. I mean, there was a time where these didn't exist, and then they were just like, they're almost mandatory now. If you come out with a game, you have to have some sort of achievement for
They are mandatory in consoles because it's a requirement in...
To get on the Xbox store, I've heard that you have to have achievements. So I don't know.
Right off the bat, I got to say that there's a few ways of doing this. There's at least three that I can think of. There's a really bad way of doing it, which is you get achievements or shit that you were going to do anyway. Like you kill the first boss killer, and then it does nothing for you.
No, but those are specifically there for a purpose because... You're supposed to get some achievements for just playing the game. If you didn't get any...
Beating the game.
I'm saying that version is the worst version.
Well, you got to have a mix.
See, I don't know. I would argue the other way, because if you have an achievement for doing something a certain way, then it kind of... It's the wrong kind of motivation to do that. Like, if you're playing a brawler beat-em-up game, and it's like, kill 100 enemies using this combo. It's like, well, what if that combo sucks, and I don't want to use it? You know?
That's
like,
why the achievement's there.
Yeah, so now I have to do something. I have to play something. It's very unorganic.
Particular play style, yes.
Yeah. But I like them both. Like, I think a good achievement list has a little mix of everything. You play through the game, you get 25% of the achievements, because that's 25% more than somebody that bought the game and never played the game. So playing the game, you get 25%, say. And then you get another 25% for doing it the hard way to do it. Right. And then you get 25% when you do these kind of off ways.
This is for the guy that buys one game a year.
Yeah.
To play this game so many times.
Because a lot of people who only bought one game a year end up put in 400 hours.
And I'm not talking shit about people that just buy, like, you can buy one game a year.
Yeah.
You can buy The Witcher 3 and have a year's worth of entertainment.
For sure. But I like a good mix because the hardcore guys need to have something there, that little carrot at the very end of the stick.
Yep.
That they can say, you know, what's that? What's that website?
Sanadichi?
Yep.
What's that website, Bobby, about the achievement score or whatever, and it tracks like the hardest achievements on Steam? Do you remember this whole thing?
What about?
Yeah, I think I do remember that. I can't remember what the actual site is.
Anyways, there's a site that'll track how rare achievements are, and then it'll base points on your achievements.
Oh, yeah, there's achievement hunters. And
yeah.
Like, there's whole groups of things.
But that's the thing. Like,
if that's your deal, that's totally cool. I don't go that far out of the way to get achievements. I mean, sometimes I'll check the list and be like, oh, I just need to do this little bit more, and then I'll get that achievement. All right, I'll do that. But for the most part, I don't know. I think it's kind of distracting from the game.
Like, I'm so sorry. I gotta bring up achievements. Binary Isaac again.
I like achievements, but I only pay attention to them when I want to. So, you know, if I get an achievement, oh, okay, cool. I wonder what for, and I'll look at it, and I'll be like, all right, well, that goes in the trophy case.
That's a really good way
But then there are select games. Like, for Fable, when I played Fable, I loved trying to pursue every single achievement on there because you could replay the game and get different achievements. And of course, Mass Effect, that series, which I love and adore, I went out of my way to 100% it. And it's because that's how invested I was. And for Left 4 Dead, I'd like, I also liked unlocking the Left 4 Dead achievements. It's because it's a way to get more out of the game.
Replayability. Like,
if it's a game that you play a lot, then yeah. Because I remember playing a lot of Left 4 Dead, and then I would look at the achievements and be like, well, okay, maybe this could be like a new goal that I set for myself.
Exactly. And that's how they can be used.
Yeah, on a game that you already are going to play again, a little couple of things that you could do. But Binding of Isaac took it to the nth degree. Every single achievement is an unlock.
Oh, that's
so,
right.
Yeah. So if you want to unlock more things, you just get the achievements. So it has some ridiculous amount, like 600 achievements. I'm making that up.
That's kind of cool that it re-adds into the game.
Yeah.
Instead
so
of
like,
just putting
hey,
something on
hey,
the shelf.
You unlocked the scissors. Guess what? And next time you play, there's a chance, actually a higher chance that the scissors are going to appear because they like to give it to you the next run.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think that's the best way it's ever been done. But obviously, you can't implement that on every game. There's not going to be a first-person game where, like, how many guns? You can't have 600 guns.
But, successor, to bring it back full circle for me, I hate achievements. I don't want them. I don't want to see
them.
So
you would say overall achievements are bad for video games? Is that what
no,
you're saying?
No, achievements are fine. I hate the implementation, and maybe Steam has a way to undo this. It brings me out of my immersion every time I see that fucking pop-up on screen, and sometimes it hides shit. I hate my friends showing up on the bottom right because there's always shit there.
Or you can turn that off. Yeah.
I fucking hate that. So that's the only reason why achievements annoy me. Other than that, yeah, I think they're cool, and you should use them for that.
I like achievements because they almost act as bookmarks, too. I feel like, especially those progression achievements, it kind of makes you kind of see where you are in the game sometimes.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
All right, last question coming from Spunwire here. Amazon really wants a piece of that video game industry. Maybe for the next episode, some speculation of the next 5 years in the industry. Let's see.
He says,
I, for one, foresee video games going in the way of Netflix and Spotify. You won't actually own games, but you have access to libraries. Origin Vault, PSN Now, Xbox has one, too. Gamefly, kind of. So, what do you guys think?
So there was actually some discussion in the suggestion channel. Steam is kind of sort of like this, but, you know, like, you don't own your game in Steam. It's kind of a, you have permanent rental on that. So if Steam shuts down, you know, you don't have your games. But I think if you wanted to have a Netflix service for games, it would be expensive. You're talking 100 to 150 bucks a month, maybe something like that. You know?
I feel like they've tried this before and it just has never worked. I don't know if people are ready for it. People like to actually own games or think that they own games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but the same thing, that's the same thing people talked about. Music, that's the same thing people talked about movies. I think eventually this will happen. The problem is it's not like a movie where you watch 3 hours and then you go to something else to watch 3 hours. Like, these are games that you could spend 100 hours on. You could spend the whole month on one game, you know? And so basically,
there's a lot more to a game than just the actual game itself. You know, there's like what we just talked about, achievements, there's saved games, progress, there's, you know, skins or content that you've unlocked, depending on what type of game it is. Like, there's so much more to the game than just the actual copy of the game itself. So I don't know. I, for one, am a little iffy for any type of service like that. Like, I have a lot of questions, you know, if I lose access to this game, are my saved files still there?
Yeah. Somebody mentioned, and I forget who, in the suggestion channel about, you know, kind of making the games, but having the DLC be paid for, so you could get kind of a basic service, but if you wanted to do more stuff in the game, you'd buy, like, add-ons or whatever.
And Bobby, and owning the games is actually really important to you, right? Like,
Yeah, sure.
You like it having it.
I mean, really, my
won't
biggest
play
issue.
Any games off of our Steam
exactly.
list. You always buy them and then play them. So that.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I mean, it's the question that I just brought up. Are my saved games, or is my progress being saved? You know, am I going to lose access to that or any sort of content? Like, I don't know.
I mean, I guess it really comes down to if somebody pulls it off.
But his question wasn't just this, though. So there's more. You know, like what other things you see going on the next 5 years? Anything else?
I mean, I signed up. Maybe this is the way things are trending, because we signed up for Origin Vault and we thought, we're like, well, this is a no-brainer. Why would I not do this?
Yeah, and it was talked about in the thread, and that's a little unique situation because they are a publisher. They have the right to do that, and they've got a large enough one.
And meanwhile, we haven't touched the vault, even though we said that we were going to, but there's been so many. I mean, there hasn't been a million games, but people keep gifting us. If you gift us a game, we're pretty much going to review it. I mean, I'd be an asshole not to.
Yeah, for sure.
Even if it's the worst.
I mean, you are an asshole,
but clickbait, mother. Not clickbait, but clicking game ever.
Click mayo.
Yeah.
I think I've been impressed. So 5 years down the road, I've been impressed recently about the ability to still come up with new genres. Like, I kind of thought we were at a stale point, and we talked.
What's new?
So MOBAs came out a couple years ago.
Yeah.
And then we did kind of this crafting survival thing for a while. Yeah. That's now morphed into this battle royale thing, which is kind of the hot shit right now.
Well, one game. I don't see.
No, not one game. King of the Kill, battle royale.
Did it right, though.
DayZ. No, they're all battle royale style.
Sure. It's not a thing, I wouldn't say.
What do you mean?
It's MOBAs was a thing. You can't call three games a thing. One of them was a gigantic success. But yeah, I see what you're saying. It's a new genre.
So you're agreeing with me by disagreeing with me?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay, cool.
Glad we cleared that up.
I had thought that we had kind of been like, okay, we're at a lull in kind of coming up with new genres or new styles of game. But after these past couple of years, I'm kind of excited to see where it goes. I think there's going to be – I think the MOBA style with the combination of PvE and PvP and how that works together – You can kind of see that in the crafting survival game, where it's kind of like you do your PvE crafting part, and then you go out and you do PvP stuff. You know what I mean? Like, so this new idea or newer idea of doing both PvE and PvP together, I'm curious to see where else they can take it in other genres that they can take it in.
I've said this since the beginning. If there was a MMO where you can take your character into a MOBA arena, I always thought that that would be that there'd be downsides where like people don't know how to react to your abilities because you're a self-made man. But that's how a battle would go anyway.
Yeah,
you don't know what people are capable of, especially me, man.
And also VR in the next 5 years, probably VR is going to be kind of more of a standard than it is now.
Oh, the Rick and Morty VR apparently is fantastic.
Oh yeah, I saw that one.
That's so cool that Rick and Morty has VR.
More of an experience thing and good. Good. That's what we want.
Yeah.
I don't think we're at a place where you can make like really good game. Well, the one where you shoot the space pirate game.
That space was pirate traders or something
so
like that.
Good. Trainer.
Trainer. Yeah. Space so pirate good. Trainer. Yeah.
There's a bundle right now. Chad, you shared this with me. You can buy a 1070.
Oh, yeah. Did you see that, Bobby?
You can buy a 1070.
It's a Vive
and a
bundle
Vive.
Sets?
For $999.
Google like a Vive bundle.
That's
set
like
or something
40% like off each of those, basically is what that is.
Yeah.
That is
there's
fantastic.
A couple different sets. So there was a Vive with a 1070. There was a Vive with a laptop. Basically they're figuring out that people don't have the hardware to run these Vives, so they're trying to bundle it with
smart.
Hardware
Super
to try
smart.
To get people to do it.
For $1,000, you can experience like one of the best experiences there are to have in your home right now.
Yeah. So there's a set where you can. So it's either with the 1070 or a laptop, a gaming laptop, or a CyberPower or something like that. Actual laptop. Or
gee, what's your graphics card right now?
970.
So that's what we have too.
Yeah, that's what we have.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's there.
I'm upgrading pretty soon here. Maybe when I upgrade, maybe we can run my 970 with on Sly with yours, Chad, or something like that.
Yeah, we can discuss. I don't. My motherboard definitely can't do Sly.
That's right. So. Oh yeah, looks like I'm right again.
Should we go to the news?
What little of it there is.
So Twitch has the partners program, right? That's when you get to your like. 100 subs and you become somebody that...
100 subs?
Or, yeah, right? Gee, when do you get a sub button?
You have to apply for partnership through Twitch.
And what do you need for that?
Generically, they want a large average viewership pool, at least 50, yeah, and a certain amount of followers, and, of course, a consistency with your streaming. And you get the sub button, which allows people to subscribe to you for $4.99. And I believe Twitch takes half of that, and you keep the rest?
30%.
Or I don't remember.
It depends on the...
Maybe it used to be they took half of it, but that could have changed.
It's not a lot. Most streamers don't make... The majority of their profits come from donations and not from the sub button.
Yeah.
But so now there is an affiliate program. So you're not a partner, you're an affiliate, and it's like for the little guys. So the little guys can make a couple bucks here and there. And I really like whoever wrote the article that I read. It says, like, here, you can show your mom that you're making at least a little bit of money.
Yeah.
How does it work?
Who said video games can't make you money?
Yeah, exactly.
That's exactly what my mom used to say.
I don't know exactly, but there are these things called bits, and that you could throw bits, which are tokens. They're basically, Twitch is...
it's like a cheer emoticon that has to do with money. It's like, take my money, and people are throwing their bits at you. It's almost like coins.
It's 1 cent per bit. So it's not a ton of money, right?
Oh, gotcha.
So you could just like spam this certain emoticon. But when you start your affiliate program, you only get one emoticon. So people aren't going to be just spamming that same thing over and over for that 1 cent. What you want is a bunch of different... You want a plethora of them. So you can level up your affiliate program, get a bunch of different emoticons, and then people will pay more and more and more. There's something else. I forget. I've been drinking. So there is something else to this. Let's see right here. So you cheering with bits. That's what it is. Right where you were, Bobby.
Yeah, it's right there.
Down there. Cheering with bits. You can... Yes, no, custom...
Okay, anyways.
I don't know. It doesn't matter. I didn't read it well enough. Anyway, which is good because...
Typical news. Second-hand news. Deal game. Second-hand
news. More questions than answers.
I really like this because there are people who have big aspirations. I should. Like, at this point now, I consider myself a permanent small-time streamer.
Yeah.
It's because I do it for the passion of gaming. And yes, I set goals for myself, but do I actually... really, like, get there? No. Like, I'm a gamer as I please, and I'm a streamer as I please, and this is a great option to at least progress and to a level where it doesn't feel like you're never gonna hit partnership. And there are people who probably, just like me, will never hit partnership, but do want to, like, have some implementation of what partner people have.
Yeah.
Like, doesn't mean you're not a quality streamer, you just don't have the viewership that some of those people do.
I think it's a great idea.
Yeah, sure. I agreed.
And you know what? Like, if you're an affiliate and you can find out what works and what doesn't work, and you can get to a point where you're like, maybe it is time to make myself a partner, you know?
Yeah,
or at least learn what's working, you know?
Yeah. Agreed.
Working, I mean bringing in cash. Are we all done?
Yep.
All right. Bobby looks like he's about to pass out.
Yes, he is. He's done. It's a late night for us.
It's
8:41.
8:30, guys. Right.
Well, when you wake up at 5.
Yeah.
Oh, that's true.
Jeez. Oh, guy.
All right. Close us up.
All right. Speaking for Chi, Chad, Bobby, and myself, always be winning, everyone. Always be winning. That's my new catchphrase. I'm going with it.